ಶ್ರೀಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಜಯಂ ತ್ರಿಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಣ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಪ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಅನಂತಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ್ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವನ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಂಶಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂದಲೇಶಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭರಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸವ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದಸ್ ಚಾತೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞ ಸ್ವರಾಡ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಯ ಆದಿ ಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಗುಹಗಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾನ್ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪತರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋತ್ಪತ್ತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುವೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾದರಮಜ್ಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇತಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇತು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿತಿ ತೀರ್ಷದಾಂತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿನಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಃ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಳವೇಣು ಕುಣಿದಾದೃದಾನನೆಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ನ ಕನಿಗಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ಗಾಭೀಂ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೀಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരകാം വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽക്രവാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം കൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം നവിദ് സുരാസുരഗണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ
Yesterday, in the 14th chapter, Krishna, second verse, which Krishna says, Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agata sargepi nopachayande pralayena vedanticha. That's the words we discussed, is it not? Krishna is saying that this transcendental knowledge which Krishna is going to talk about in this chapter is the result of that is Krishna says mama sadharmyam agada, that means one will reach that state of transcendental nature, and Krishna says it's my nature, Krishna's nature. You can see in the translation Prabhupada mentions, by becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature which is like my own nature. Mama sadharmyam agata, Krishna is saying. Mama sadharmyam agata, that is the most important thing. If you look at that verse, and if you look at the verse in the 7th chapter, when Krishna says that udara sarvaye vede jnani twalmaiva me matam, he is not different from me. Krishna says before, isn't it, in the 7th chapter, jnani twalmaiva me matam. And to Uddhava, Krishna said, no, Uddhava abhimanyunam. Uddhava is not different from me. This is why that it is like this. That as soon as you become like Krishna at that time, what that does not mean physical appearance. That's not what Krishna is talking about. What Krishna is saying is that when you become completely situated in the transcendental platform or the spiritual nature, one comes to him with the help of this knowledge, what is going to be spoken in this. One aspect of that is what Krishna says in the next two lines, creation and dissolution goes away. It doesn't exist anymore. Sargebi novajayande pralayena vedhanticha. Sargam and pralayam doesn't exist anymore after that. Which we can understand. Because creation and dissolution and all these things is when you are interacting with the world, when you take the world seriously. And this world is existing only when you have a body and your senses. Through the senses and the body, you recognize the presence of the world, is it not? So the world what you are experiencing today is a world that is presented to you by your senses and your mind. So the reality is that what is the reality then? The world that is experienced by every one of us is different because of this. That as long as we recognize this fact, that the world that we are experiencing today is the world that is being presented to us by our mind and our senses. Therefore, in Vedam, the instruction is, instead of being present in the absorbed in the world, go to the person who is experiencing the world. If you don't do that, you will be carried away by the world all the time. The world will take control of everything. This is the important point. So, from Drishyam to Drik, this is important. That is why Krishna is saying this. Why did Krishna say that? Sargebi nobajayande pralayena vyathanticha. For this reason only. Sargam pralayam, all these things, is for that person who is absorbed in the mind and the senses. Not otherwise. One who has gone beyond the mind and the senses, for him, creation and dissolution doesn't exist. In the spiritual platform, they don't exist. It exists only when you are in the grip of the senses and the mind. Normally it is like that, isn't it? You can understand that. Sargebi nobe. That is the reason why Krishna is saying that here. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmya magada. This Krishna is saying that this creation and the sustenance and dissolution, all these things, is because of the presence of the mind and the senses, which is what we have taken shelter of. So long as we are in the mind and we are in the senses and the body, the effect of the world will be there on us. So the quicker we free ourselves from the grip of the body and the mind, the easier it gets the knowledge of the self. Realization becomes much easier. That's the point. Everything is very subtle in the Bhagavad Gita. If you keep reading it and think through it, you will know that Krishna is taking us away from the influence of the drishyam rather to the drik, to the seer, rather than what is being seen. So that's why, idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmya magada. Each word is very potential. Krishna is saying, Prabhupada also says here, by becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature, which is my own nature, Krishna's nature. As far as Krishna is concerned, the world doesn't exist. We are concerned, the world exists. Krishna is concerned, Krishna treats the world in that way. Because when he comes, when Krishna comes, and carrying out all kinds of transcendental activities, how is he doing that? There is no kartratvam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. There is no ragadvesham in anything, whatever Krishna does here. That is why he sends Putana also to the spiritual world and Prahlada also to the spiritual world. And Hiranyakashipu also to the spiritual world. What does that indicate? That indicates to us, as far as Krishna is concerned, that the reality of this world is not the way we experience the world. For us, we see the world, he is my friend, he is my enemy. We have classified, put them into different columns. Isn't it? And we keep on shuffling this. Today he is friend and tomorrow he is my enemy. And tomorrow, today's enemy is tomorrow my friend. And this goes on in this world. So this disease what we have in relationship with the world, Krishna says unless you free from that, there is no hope. Because otherwise he will be caught up in this world. Well, that's why Krishna says, by becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature, which is like my own nature, Krishna says. Which is like my own nature. So yesterday we have seen that this variation in spiritual life, what everyone is experiencing, generally by practicing certain austerities and certain discipline in life, everyone feels a certain amount of spiritual happiness, in the sense that people feel that there is some goal in life, and also you feel certain happiness sometimes due to the sattvagunam present in a person. But very often what we find is that you come to spiritual life and after a year or two everything changes. You feel not enthused anymore like before, and you also start thinking that sometime when I joined the movement everything was very interesting, but now I'm getting bored, things are not working out the way it is, and so many problems everywhere, and what am I supposed to do? All these questions starts coming back. So Krishna's point is here, that problem is caused by the modes of nature. This is the important thing. Krishna says, till you free yourself from the modes of material nature, you can never be situated in the, established in the truth. Up to that time, this oscillation will continue, will up and down, up and down. One day is good, another day is not so good. So according to the modes of it, that is why this chapter is so important. Krishna is saying that even though you may have come to spiritual life, even though you may have accepted spiritual life, spiritual goal in your life, still you are not feeling established in the truth. You are hearing about the truth so much, but still not feeling established in that, not feeling settled there. Reason for that, Krishna is saying, is because of the three modes of material nature. That is what is causing that problem. That's what we have seen yesterday. So, when this realization comes, like we spoke about yesterday, that the that the example of the sky present in the, like it is mentioned there in the Bhagavatam also, you can see that in relationship with Parikshit, Shukla Brahmarshi says that Ghatakasham and Mathakasham, the sky in the pot and the big sky, Mahakasham. So when the sky and the pot breaks, there's only one sky. There is no two sky. There's only one sky, isn't it? So similarly, when you are sitting in this pot, temporary pot called this body, while you are sitting inside that, you are thinking about me in relationship with this body, in relationship with this body. But as soon as you realize the truth, what you are actually, or when the pot breaks up at that time, like the sky in the pot dissolves with the sky in the open, big sky, in a similar way, this vastu inside, consciousness inside, merges with the Supreme Consciousness. So that consciousness, that merge, the conscious oneness of that consciousness is already there. It's already there. But what has happened is, you come to realize it when the body drops away. When the body drops away. So you also realize that when the body drops away, there is nothing to gain or nothing to lose. Nothing. By the body remaining here, or when the body lose, when you lose the body, in either way, whether it remains or whether you lose the body, in either situation, you start realizing that you have no profit or loss by doing that. And this personality inside me, in the form of false ego, which was inside me in the form of false ego, and that is not my real identity. That is what self-realization means. You lose your identity with the false ego, and instead you realize that your actual identity is not the false ego. Instead, that my proper identity is the Atma, or Krishna's presence inside. And it is at that time we completely destroy that personality inside. What we call today as the personality, personality all the time, it is this false ego inside. And we also realize, unless I destroy that personality, there is no hope further. And this, you also notice at that time, then this so-called personality development itself is a total nonsense. Personality development itself is a total nonsense. It's coming from that ego inside. Only then liberation is possible. Only after that liberation is possible. So practically you can see that jiva ahanda, jiva sahangaram. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see this mentioned so many places. That jiva sahangaram is playing its game throughout life here. Is it not? That ahangaram keeps on playing, and accordingly we are tossed by that, by the influence of that. So so that is why this process of hearing process, Krishna says here, that how will this realization happen? Because this sound, what has Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, all these verses, it has got a potency which cannot be explained, which cannot be explained, because Shabda Shaktehe Achindyatvad, in the Brahma Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, the sound of the power of the sound, Shabda Shaktehe Achindyatvad, you can't even think about that, the power of the sound. And it can go inside, this knowledge, Krishna's words, can go inside and it can start working inside. It will start working inside, provided there is no resistance from inside. Provided there is no resistance from the inside, means from the ego center. If the ego is not blocking it, then this sound, what is Krishna has spoken in these verses, it can go inside a person and start working there straight away. So, and you will know this in the Bhagavatam, there is a perfect example of this, how it has worked. Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Hiranyakashipu's wife Kayadhu, is it not? When he spoke spiritual transcendental knowledge to Kayadhu, Prahlada got realized. Prahlada was in the womb and there was no resistance from inside. From Prahlada's side, there was no resistance. Mother resisted. Who? Kayadhu. Kayadhu start. How is the resistance? Resistance is like this. Mind will come into action. And mind will start saying so many other things. It will start interpreting things. Krishna is talking to us the truth. The reality is what Krishna is talking to us. Is it not? So, when Krishna is saying something to us, if we don't block it, it will work. Prahlada didn't block, Kayadhu blocked. That's why it didn't work for Kayadhu, it worked for Prahlada. Perfect example in the Bhagavatam, you can see. Everybody asked this question, that Narada Maharshi spoke to Kayadhu, but Prahlada got self-realized, Kayadhu didn't get anything. Do you know that story? In the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto. So, and because Kayadhu slept, when when Narada Maharshi was speaking, Kayadhu went to sleep. Prahlada heard everything. There was no resistance from inside. So, it is not Krishna's Bhagavad Gita the problem. Problem is our own mind. Our own mind. We have strong resistance from inside. And this hearing process, that itself is a great art. It's a great art. Even if you decided yourself that I want to hear everything very attentively, very carefully, still inside that personality is there, ego, inside. And whether you are giving attention or not, that personal form of me, I am inside, that ahankaram inside, he will be there, and what he does is, if he will activate the mind, and even if you sit here with the paper and the pen, everything to write it down, that personality ego will be working very strongly, and the vastu, what you are hearing about from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you are able to take it and dissolve it within yourself, what requires that is Shraddha, Bhakti and the respect for the words of Krishna. Shraddha in Krishna's words, bhakti in Krishna's words, and respect for Krishna's words. This is necessary. It is not a class, it's not a Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is not something like listening to some other topic in the school or college. There you don't need bhakti, respect and all that. But in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you need the respect to Bhagavad Gita, you need the respect to Krishna's words, you need that bhakti inside, that I need this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that strong desire inside must be there. Otherwise, it is simply on the mental platform you are hearing and judging and interpreting it with the mind. Now you can see that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that Brahmana in Srirangam, that he did not understand anything, but he was reading Bhagavad Gita. Seeing that Brahmana's respect towards Bhagavad Gita, Mahaprabhu says, you understand Bhagavad Gita, he said to him. Did he not? That famous story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it comes. That it is not due to our mind or our knowledge that we understand Bhagavad Gita. Rather, it is due to our bhakti and our shraddha and our other respect to the Bhagavad Gita. That is where it happens. Because if it is there, the moment you hear these words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, immediately that sound will go inside and will start working, and it will completely destroy that ego inside. Completely destroyed by ego or personality inside. And because as soon as they destroy that personality, you will know that the ego has disappeared. Ego has disappeared. Because the very nature of the self is not to experience death. Isn't it? Atma doesn't have death. Death is for the false ego. That is for the false ego. Even if you want to die, you can't die. Even if you want to die, you can't die. So, so this realization that comes, that I am something who doesn't have death. This is all spiritual understanding of life. That I am someone who doesn't have any death. And no matter how many times we repeat this, we are not capturing that point. Krishna is saying that again I am identifying with my false ego again and again, and then again the fear of death will come back. The more and more we identify with the false ego, the fear of death will come back again. Similarly, when the disease comes, and mind will go to the body. Due to all this, the same problem. Because of the presence of identification with the false ego, these are the after effects of that. When the disease comes, mind will go into the body. And we will start thinking about the disease more than necessary. And if you free yourself from that through satsangam, through shraddha and through bhakti, and if you keep on pulling back from that body, and if you decide to establish yourself in the truth, then once that decision is taken by the power of the jiva inside, jiva has a certain power, but that power is at the moment it is fixed with the false ego, ahankaram. But if that power, jiva's power, jiva shakti it is called, if he decides that before death happens, I wanted to realize the truth, before the death happens, I want to realize the truth, in that case, what will happen is, just like the snake releases its cover, if you have seen that, when the snake goes through the forest and all that, what it does is, it has got a very light coated skin on it. And as it gets older, that skin will peel off from the body and the snake will pass through. And from that you can see what kind of snake has gone through that particular place. In the forest, the people who know about the snakes, they understand it. So, just like the snake leaves its cover, external cover, in a similar way, you can leave this body and go. You can leave this body and go. And that will happen before Yama take control of the body. Normally, at the time of death, we say Yama comes. Yama take control of the body, isn't it? That is what the speciality of this knowledge, what Krishna is saying in this verse. The speciality of this knowledge is that. Krishna is, that's why you can see here. See how Krishna puts the words there. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmya magata sargebhi nobhi jayande pralayena vyathanticha. Very important verse. the nature of that transcendence. That means when you while living in this world, before that death comes, which means the death of the body happens, if you practice and take attention of this knowledge, what Krishna has speaking here in this chapter, Krishna says the effect will be that even before the body drop away, you can escape from this, and that will be that the decision is inside. That decision is made inside us. It's a jiva's power, jiva shakti it is called, to make that decision that I want to free myself from the grip of this body and the mind. Body and the mind. So that, because it is like that, like we talked all these things yesterday also, that sargam pralayam, that means creation and dissolution, these two things won't have any effect on that person, on that vyakti or individual, in other words, because he has gone beyond the body and the mind. Body and the mind. It is a very interesting point Krishna is making in that verse. If you look through into that verse carefully, Krishna is saying to us, sargebi nobijayande pralayana vyathanticha. Sargam pralayam is for whom? Although in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, there is such a lengthy description of creation. Is it not? And in the 12th canto, there is a long description of dissolution also. So normally people will read that and will start thinking that, oh, creation is such a troublesome process. And then there is also this dissolution, when it's going to happen after billions of years later. We start looking all that, isn't it? Krishna is saying, sargam pralayam is in reality, is for that person who is in the grip of the body. For him there is creation, for him there is dissolution. Otherwise there is no creation, there is no dissolution. This is the way it is. Sargebi nobijayande. What happens? Because as soon as you leave the body and the mind, you have come free yourself from the grip of the body and the mind and the world. You are completely released from that. And then you are not concerned about creation. Creation does not bother you anymore, nor the dissolution will bother you, because consciousness has come to its identity with the Supreme Consciousness. Supreme Consciousness. So, mrityuhu yasya upasechanam. Upanishad says, mrityuhu yasya upasechanam. In other words, mrityu, Krishna says, Upanishad says that mrityu does not exist for him anymore. Yeah, upasechanam. So, so one who has realized the self, one who has realized the truth, for him, what death? One who has realized the truth, for him, where is death? And if you want to go further, if you want to have some clarity on that thing, that even the fear of death goes away from that person due to realizing the self. This is the after effect of all this. If self-realization happens while living within this body, then Krishna's point is sargebi nobijayande pralayena vyathanticha. Creation, first thing, creation disappears. Devastation, dissolution also disappears. Doesn't exist anymore. Secondly, the fear of death, what we all have, doesn't exist anymore after that. After that, doesn't exist anymore. So, right now, when we think about death, we are all frightened, is it not? Are we or not? We are frightened, isn't it? We think, sometimes we think, oh, it's a long way to go, another 40, 50 years by the time we die. When you are 20 or 30, you think like that. But you get 50, 60, you start realizing it's getting closer. It's not very far. So every moment, somebody is dropping off. So when you start seeing that, it's not too far. You realize that, isn't it? So, but Krishna says here that if this realization happens before death, what is the situation then? Krishna says here that, is this what I was frightened about? This thing will come to him. Because how nice it is, there is a thing called death, he says. Death is not all that bad. That's also another side to the spiritual life. So, many people, Mahatma says, everybody likes death. Everybody likes death. But people ask the question, oh, should we not be frightened about death? Why should we be frightened? Will I exist after the death? That's a fear most of the people have, isn't it? But people, general question is, what will happen to me after death? I won't exist anymore, would I? So I won't be there anymore after death. This fear will come. So Mahatma asked the question back, is that not happening every night? You're losing your body every night, isn't it? And in the night, to lose the body, what all we do? We prepare a nice bed, air-conditioned room, and then take some tablets also, if you're not getting. Somehow or the other, we lose the body in the night. It is for that we are willing to do all these things. It's happening every night, is it not? We lose our body in the deep sleep state. What's happening is you lose your body completely. And then in the morning when you come back, because we want to be away from the body that is there inside, we don't want it. But somehow or the other, ajnanam, avidya inside is pulling us back into this body again. So, so you start realizing at night that if I don't have the body, how nice it is. How nice it is, isn't it? So, if death personified, mrityu, is doing us a favor by taking this body away, why should we be frightened about him? Should we not welcome him in the proper way? Should we not be welcoming him? This fear of death is only happening because of the attachment to the body, that identification with the body. So, death is not, in that sense, a reality. It is always auspicious also. Nothing to be frightened about it. But only thing is to understand death properly, like the way Krishna has spoken. Remember, we talked yesterday also, that how, what Krishna presents about the death. Krishna says about the death, isn't it? That death is what? What is death? Jadabharata's example, many other examples. Death is nothing but at the time that the thoughts that was inside were centered around this body. At some point in time, Krishna says that those thoughts which were in relationship with this body left this body and it could not come back to this body again. At that time, when the prarabdham finishes, that's what happens. Inside the subtle body, a new set of thoughts develops. Based on the new set of thoughts, our thoughts goes in identify with those thoughts. Our thoughts, we identify with those thoughts. The result will be that you are not able to come back to these thoughts related to this body anymore. It is at that point, this body drops, another body comes back. So Krishna's point is that if you carefully look at people when they leave their body, there is nothing much to be frightened about that. And as time passes on in this world, if this body has given you a lot of trouble, suppose the body has given you a lot of trouble, what will happen is most of the people will say, I will rather leave this body. A stage will come in life. For some time, we will try to keep it going as long as you can. Is it not? That's our normal tendency, just like you can see sometimes the cars. So, the best example is a car. We will keep on tinkering with it. And at one point, you will make the decision. It's no good. I'm not going to put any more money into this car. It's only giving me trouble more and more. So what do you do? Scrapyard, isn't it? It's exactly the same thing with this body also. This attachment to the body will only remain up to that point. that inside, even though outwardly he will go to hospital and he will take all the treatment and the relatives will say, take this medicine, that medicine, so many people will come with you. Everybody knows that he's on his way out. But people will say, and you may be doing all that, but inside that person will be thinking, I wish I could go from this body. That is the normal thing what happens in this world. Up to that point, we'll go to all the best hospitals and people will say, you can do this, you can do that. So many recommendations, but nothing will work. Because that at that time is when you want to take shelter of the death. You want death more than anything else. You want that death to happen. Because you start realizing that this is no use living in this way with this body, isn't it? If you look at the people who are going to commit suicide, if you look at them, you will see. If you stop him and ask him, he will say, I want to commit suicide and be peaceful in life. That will be his answer. He wants peace, that's why he's willing to commit suicide for that. Because has anybody got peace after dying like that? Because he is inquiring for peace, he wants to achieve shanti in life through death. Through death he wants to get it. So, unconsciously, he knows very well, unconsciously, that he is not the body. He is not the... This knowledge is inside, in him. So, what is happening is that this body, which in conjunction with the mind, there is a thing called the personality, comes from there. And that personality is causing all this problem. Personality is causing all this problem. So, in order to get rid of that personality, what is inside, that's why he put the rope and hangs himself. Because that's what was giving him the trouble. That personality was giving him the trouble, not the self. So, you can look at it in different ways about death. A person who had enough of this body problems, with various illnesses, diseases and everything, has given you so much trouble, he wants to leave the body. Or a person who is disturbed very much through the problems of life in this world and mentally very much in a distress, he also doesn't want this body. He also wants to give up the body. And he is also looking for the ways to come out of the body. So, what will happen at that time is that because of this, he has given up the body forcefully, does not mean that it is over. The problem is not solved, because what he is getting rid of is a physical body. He is not killing the ego inside. Our bigger enemy is not this gross body. Our bigger enemy is the ego inside. So, when he is able to wipe out that personality inside, the ego inside, then it is possible to avoid death and it is possible to avoid the distress, any more distress. So, killing that personality is only possible through knowledge. Only possible through knowledge. So, that is why Krishna is saying that very clear. Idam jnanam upashritya mamam sadharmyam agadaha sargebi nopajayande pralayena vyathanticha. Idam jnanam upashritya mamam sadharmyam agadaha. There is no other way. Krishna says this jnanam, this knowledge of the self has to come in a person. Mama sadharmya magada. Then he will be like me. Won't be disturbed about the creation. Won't be disturbed about the dissolution. Won't be disturbed about the influence of the modes of nature. So, what we can see here is what actually we are not. But what we think we are, what actually we are not, which one? Ahankaram, false ego. And what we think we are, that is that ahankaram. That is what has been giving us trouble for so many lifetimes, life after life. What has been giving trouble to us is that false ego. You will come to know about it at that time. And which is inside us all the time. and that ghost or devil, what is inside, constantly giving different problems to us. And in order to clear that off from inside, that ahankaram or false ego, to wipe it from inside, and that mantra or tattvam is atmavidya, knowledge of the self, brahmavidya in other words. In order to have that happen, shraddha, bhakti, dhyanam, various things which are connected with that, if you try with all these things, it is possible, Krishna says, little by little, while living in this world itself, you can transcend death. You can transcend death and you will get freedom from the death once for all. Because once you are dead, then nobody will be frightened about the death after that, isn't it? You see, this all spoken in the Bhagavadam also. But Bhagavadam will talk about these things in a different way. Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is only like a straightforward method. Bhagavad Gita doesn't take the process of speaking through the stories. That's not in the Bhagavad Gita's system. Bhagavad Gita's principle is straight away talk. If you get it, you got it. If you didn't get it, you didn't get it. That's all. But the subtlety of that verse, you can see when you look at it. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmam agata sargobi nova jayande palayana vyathanticha. How much it carries through that verse. What an amount of knowledge in regarding to death, self-realization, and the state after death, everything is spoken in one verse. Is it not? In one verse, Krishna has managed to put through everything about death, the knowledge about the death, and after self-realization, what happens to the person, the symptoms of that person, everything is in that verse, which we have spoken yesterday and today also. So Krishna is saying, idam, but there's hope is idam jnanam upashritya, that knowledge of the self. That has to develop inside. There is no other thing. You can keep talking about stories and stories and stories. Bhagavad Gita's principle is not like that. Bhagavad Gita talks to you straight. If you got it, you got it. If you didn't get it, you didn't get it. In Bhagavadam, the principle is a little different. Bhagavadam process says, as much as possible, Shukha Brahmarshi will bring some story to tell the truth. If you look into Bhagavadam, there is a story there after the this famous battle between the demons and the demigods. Remember? In the 8th canto. Yes, in the 8th canto. Shukracharya, Shukracharya was their spiritual master of the demons, isn't it? So, the war happened after the Mohini Murti brought the nectar and it was stolen by the demons, and Krishna took the form of Mohini Murti, got the nectar back, and after he got the nectar back, then it was saved to everyone, and the demons realized that they were cheated by Mohini Murti and they decided to fight and get it back, and then there was a big war, churning of the milk ocean, and then subsequently all the Mohini Murti's appearance, and there's finally a war between the demons and the demigods. Mahabali is a demon, is the head of the demons. Shukracharya is their teacher. And demigods has got Brihaspati as their leader, as their guru, and Indra is the leader. So the war happened, and it is interesting about that war is, if you read that description in the Bhagavadam, you will see that demons were getting killed. Who was killing them? The demigods were killing the demons. Whoever died, Shukracharya will come and give them life back again. So demigods didn't know what to do with them. Because you are fighting the war to kill them, isn't it? You are killing them and Shukracharya comes and gives life to them again. So they are all coming back again, one after the other. So, so when twice or thrice this happened, the demons felt very happy because the demigods doesn't know what to do with them. They were finding it very, very difficult. So they were saying to each other, it's very nice, you know, when you die and when you come back again. That they started saying to each other, how nice it is when you die. How nice it is when you die. So, and they were telling, the demons were saying to the other demons who are not dead, try and see what happens, because anyway you will coming back anyway, once again, there is no problem, is there? So we were unnecessarily frightened about that, because when you go to the war, everybody is frightened about their own death, isn't it? Whoever it is, whichever army it is, that they are frightened about their death. So the demigods and the demons, when they fought this fight, the demons had this special advantage. Shukracharya was giving back life to everybody, and they were coming back again. So immediately at that time, you can see they were feeling happy when they came back from death. You can see when you go back to sleep and you wake up after losing the body, again you are feeling happy, isn't it? If you had a good sleep in the deep sleep, if you had a good sleep and you woke up, it is happy again. So similarly, when you came back from death also, they were feeling happy. So they were saying each other, try this and what will happen? So they kept on fighting with the demigods in that way. Once this fear of death has gone, suppose the fear of death has gone, you won't have any problem in fighting, would you? You'll be prepared to fight to any extent. That is the reason. So similarly, Krishna's point is that what Mahabali is saying, what Shiva Guru Maharshi is saying like this, while living in this world, in this body, if you die now, while living in the body, which means that if your ego dies here, inside this body, you will live forever. Then you won't feel the death of the body anymore. That is the principle. In order to present that fact to us, that story in the Bhagavatam. You may think that, why, what an interesting story this is, isn't it? When you read that fight between the demons and the demigods. That is a Puranic way of presenting things. That while living in the body, if you leave this body, while living in the body, that means death has happened to the false ego, in other words. False ego is the one that's identifying with the body. That means you lost your identification with the body. And then if you look at how you feel at that time, that is the point Krishna's making here. While living in this body, if my identification with the body has gone, which is due to false ego, if I lost that identification, what will be that state, Krishna is saying? That state, that means then if the body and its own way, it drops away at some point, it will not disturb you. It will not disturb you. So that is, that story is referring to that in the Bhagavatam. Mahabali later on agree with this point and says to Shukracharya that whatever has happened, and Lokatattva Vichakshana, it says. Mahabali was a very intelligent person. Although head of the demons, he was a very intelligent person. And he understood Shukracharya's message that this war, fighting and all that is completely based on the body, isn't it? On a spiritual platform, whom do you fight? Who are you fighting with? And where is the death? There is no birth, there is no death on a spiritual platform. So till we have all these ideas, so all the problems what we have in this world is due to identification with the body, in other words. There is a story about this, that a man went to the forest. He caught hold of a parrot from the forest, brought it home and trained the parrot to speak. Parrots can be trained to speak, isn't it? And then he put the parrot in a cage. And after some time, he went to the forest again. While going to the forest, he told this parrot, I'm going to the forest where I caught you. I'm going to that place, he said. And your friends are there, other parrots. Do you want me to say anything to them? Any message, you want to take any message to them? You put this parrot in the cage, and he's asking this parrot. So this parrot told this man that when you go to the forest, you tell them that I'm happy here. I mean, only thing is I'm in a cage. I get my food and everything on time. Everything is quite nice. But only problem I have is I'm in a cage. I can't go out of this cage. So when you see my boyfriend there, because they were friends together, the one of the parents have come here, says, you tell that boyfriend that I'm living here comfortably, food is on time, but only thing I cannot go out of this cage. And I'm just living my life like this, he said. So he got there to the forest and he saw that boyfriend of this parrot there and said everything to that, the message as it was told. And that parrot in the forest didn't give any attention. And that this message what was given, it heard everything. But as soon as it said that I am inside the cage, I'm getting my food on time, everything is comfortable, but only problem I have is I am in a cage. As soon as he said this, that parrot in the forest, it fell and dropped dead. He fell down and dropped dead. So when he came back from the forest, this man who went to the forest, he came back and went back and told this parrot that I told everything what you told me to tell him. But as soon as I said about this, that he is in the cage, you are in the cage here, that's the only problem, there's no other problem. Immediately he fell and dropped dead. So as soon as he said this to this parrot also fell and dropped dead. Also dropped dead. So this person thought, oh, I should not have spoken this to him, and felt very bad about it. So he was very unhappy about it, and at that time he sat there for a while and thought about it and walked away from there. And he left the cage door open. And this parrot which fell down, dropped dead, came out and flew off from there. Flew off from there. So, and afterwards, it goes to the, it flew off and went into the tree and sat there. And sitting there, it says, I didn't die actually. What I did was, the other parrot also is not dead. The other parrot also realized that if I die now, then I can come out of this cage. That parrot realized, which one in the forest. And when I heard that, it dropped dead, I realized that if I die now, I can also escape from here. Similarly, while living in this body, if we lose that connection with the body, that's all it is. It's saying the same message what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Only thing is, it's spoken in a story form. While living in this body, if you drop dead inside, which means ahankara, false ego dies inside, identification with the body goes away. And if you drop dead, then afterwards you are free. You are free after that. So this vyakti ahankaram, that means the personal ego sense, what is inside us, or what we call as the personality, that is what his personality means. When it stops its movement, and that place is the center of all the disturbances inside. All problems, the source is that. Which one? The ego. Ego center, ahankaram, personality. That's the center where all the problems are beginning, disturbances coming from there. Once that center goes away, then what is left inside? What Krishna says is the hrit, isn't it? That hristhanam. Hristhanam means that there is only shanti there. There is no other disturbances there. And if you can live in that other center, which Krishna says about, not the personality center, but rather the spiritual center, which Krishna calls as the ahambodham. Ahamkaram is the personality center. Ahambodham is the consciousness center. Once you live in that center, then what has happened is, he has seen the death while living in this world. He has seen the death while living in this world, or in other words, he has transcended the death. He has transcended the death, or immortality has happened to him. And therefore Krishna says, pralayama vyathanticha, there is no vyatha. Vyatha means this kind of distress will not come to him, will not happen to him. That is why Krishna says, jnananam jnanam uttamam, he says. And this is the greatest knowledge. Instead of giving importance to all these things, we get absorbed in all other things. What Krishna has mentions here, he says, this is not important anymore in this world, this knowledge of the self, is it not? Krishna is saying us a great secret, Krishna is giving to us. How to die while living in this body, and how to come out of death, the cycle of birth and death. The whole secret Krishna is explaining to us, but if we give no importance to any of these things in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has spoken, instead if you give importance to all other things, computer and all other rubbish, in whatever we think is important in this world, and keep on dreaming about it, how I can upgrade myself in all the other things, and about how to create the rockets and the plane and go into other planets and all other kinds of ideas what we have created about life in this world. In other words, all non-essentials, mind is gone into everything else. And if you get caught up in that, and what is not important, if you make all those things important inside, and everything becomes an entertainment, you will eventually end up with a situation more unhappiness and distress. Unhappiness and distress. This you can see, we mentioned many times before also, that this whole thing called entertainment, everything, is because you are bored inside, not feeling that purpose of life inside. And various other things have taken priority in life, and we are willing to put up with anything in this world for these false priorities. Isn't it? Krishna is saying to us something so valuable and such an important thing, we are not able to give that importance to it. We are not able to recognize it, nor we think it is an important thing. This is our misfortune. This is our misfortune. Krishna is saying like this, that when other things become important in life, and when we want to get ourselves entertained in different ways, and ultimately what will happen is that many, many different ways you will work hard, and eventually you will see the frustration coming in some form or the other. Life will become a total frustration. So why do we do all these things? Because yours and mine also, all this accumulation of knowledge, everything, what did we acquire in this life? What did we get in this life? Ultimately, what we have created is a world with full of fear, each other, isn't it? So, different religions and different castes and arguments, quarrels and the bomb making, terrorism, everything, all these things, this modern science has not able to help us very much, isn't it? Except that the result, if you look at it, you can see it's all distress and frustration at the end. Because the mind, by nature, wants a shanti, shanti inside. So that shanti has gone from life, and you have become the children of ashanti, isn't it? Children of ashanti. So in the middle of all this ashanti, all this non-existence of any peace in this world, mind, which is normally in a peaceful state, normally the mind should be in a peaceful state, and that is why mind does not require an entertainment. Actually, mind doesn't require any entertainment or any kinds of art or any kind. That is the nature of the sadhus or the rishis, sages. That's what they have taught us, that the mind doesn't require any entertainment. The fact that the entertainment industry is growing so big is an indication of the state of the mind of the society, that people are feeling so disturbed that they need all this entertainment. So all these things, what we see in the entertainment, is nothing but a reflection of that disturbances inside the mind, isn't it? So what do you see there in the entertainment is mostly, whether it is television serial or it's movie or whatever it is, it's some family story, somebody's family life, what happened in their life, and somebody's reading a newspaper, somebody's getting married, somebody's having children, and all these kind of things. This is all what the film stories are centered around, is it not? And watching all these things, you feeling entertainment from that. And there's also problems in their family life also, in the serials or whatever you are seeing in the movie. And then you feeling some happiness from that. Why? The shanti inside is not there. Mind is not able to stop the chitavrti. Chitavrtis are continuously coming, one after the other, and bombarding us at that time. So it's just like what they give the example, that these serials, if you look particularly, just like if you looked at the bull when they pass urine, if you have seen that, it will be like a torrential rain for about 5-10 minutes, and it will stop for a few seconds and it will come another lot. So the serial is like that. It will come and waste you 1 or 2 hours, and then it will stop for a while, and then again next day the same time it will come. And this is people's entertainment, isn't it? So called entertainment. So Krishna says here that why we have accepted all these things, why do we need all these things, why there is no shanti. To sit in front of a serial, watch for a few hours, no problem. Krishna is saying to us something very, very seriously, we find it very difficult, isn't it? So why is that? That is the way the mind is tuned. Unfortunately, that's what has happened to all of us. We are going through these difficult situations, isn't it? So that's why our problem is our own mind. Our problem is our own mind. It's better not to say anything about the world. World will go its own way. So I am frightened about my own mind. Disturbance is within me, inside me. I have got the boredom. I have got tension. I have got depression. Not the world. So in order to forget all these things, I am doing various other things to escape from all these things. And when I see in the television somebody is very depressed, I feel, oh, it's okay. He's also depressed. I'm also depressed. I think like that. Or in the television, somebody is killing someone, shooting someone. All these things. So when you see all their depressions and everything, you feel okay. You feel okay. Just like example, suppose electricity gone at home. Sometimes it happens. Rarely it happens, but it does happen. What do you do first thing? Has it gone in other houses? If it's gone in all other houses, then it's okay. Same thing. We feel okay, it'll come, because it's gone everywhere, isn't it? First thing you look is everybody else's house is gone. It's the same thing, what happens with this business. So, similar piece, what we get from that. So, this madhouse, Granthalayam, as it's called, this madhouse of this world, that it's only a stage that you're going through this life, and this is not permanent. This whole thing is not permanent, it's a drama. And this complete nonsense, if you want to escape, you can escape. A person can escape. Whole society cannot escape. That illusion must get out of it, from the head. If you think the whole society is going to escape from this, it's not going to happen. That is why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to one person. You would have thought Krishna was a little intelligent. What Krishna should have done? Called all the people in the world together and put them, sat them together and spoke Bhagavad Gita to them all together. It would have helped a lot more than this. Instead, Krishna chose to speak to one person. What do? We collect thousands as possible together and think that if we have millions coming to listen, whole millions will escape. This is our calculation. Is it not? That is why we want to collect millions. The reason, we like a Kumbh Mela for Bhagavad Gita's lecture. If we have a Kumbh Mela, then we think, in Kumbh Mela we should go there because there is 10 million people there. If we preach Bhagavad Gita, all the 10 million will go to the spiritual world. This is our understanding. But Krishna's understanding is, no, Arjuna, you are ready for it, I'll give it to you, you take it and you escape. This is Krishna's policy. And to Arjuna, Uddhava also, Krishna says, Uddhava, I have told you everything. If you want to escape, you can escape. But don't think about the rest. That's not your problem. That's my problem. Krishna's concern. That is the way spiritual life works. We have to know this. Because instead, what do we think? Oh, unless the organization is very, very big, unless there's so many followers they've got, so many gurus they've got, that means that they are the right one. They have made it. This is our understanding. Vedic philosophy doesn't approve with that. Vedic philosophy doesn't approve with that because Krishna's point is here, like that, that that if you try to escape yourself, you can escape. If you try to escape yourself, you can escape. Instead, if you start thinking, I will go and change the whole world and take the whole world with me to the spiritual world, the whole thing will become a problem. Whole thing will become a problem. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is not directly addressed towards the society. It is addressed to the individual. If you like, you can escape. If I like, I can escape from this. Come out of this circle. Come out of this circle. What is escaping means? Escaping means this, that all these things, what's going on around, has no substance. That is escaping. That realization is the escaping. Because this moment of the false ego inside, that is where all this is coming from. All this is coming from. My life and my personality, instead of which gives importance to my personality. That means the ego inside, which gives importance to my personality. And if I escape from that, shanti will come. Peace will come to me. And at this point in time, inquiry of the self and all these things, even if you have not understood it properly, what Krishna has spoken in the last chapter, because in the last chapter Krishna has spoken so many things, isn't it? Amanitvam, adambitvam. Amanitvam, adambitvam. So if you hold on to these two words, which one? Amanitvam, adambitvam. Humility and pridelessness, Krishna says. So important thing is, Krishna is saying, don't try to become a big person in this world. If you make that decision, Krishna says, there will be a lot of shanti inside if you make that decision. And if you start thinking, oh, I have to be recognized by the society, and if I am not there, what will happen? If all these things comes, then it is going to cause a lot of problems. And live like that in this world. Let the world think whatever they want to think about us. That doesn't matter. But in carefully, if one learns how to sit in the back bench in the class, and if in that case, that means in the world to sit in the back bench, not in the satsangam. Satsangam, you should sit in the front, but in the world, you should sit at the back. This is the principle. This is the principle. In satsangam, sitting behind is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Satsangam, always in the front, but in the world, always remain at the back. So, whoever wants to do big things in this world, let them do it. And let them have the results also. And because it's always in the world, the one who is in the front, he will get beaten more than the others, isn't it? So, so that's why in relationship with the world and the work, because everybody is concerned about that, is it not? That the nature of the work, Krishna's point is this, that do not identify with the work as everything in life, because work is only something that has come due to prarabdham, that has come in that form of karma. Karma has come as the prarabdham. And that execution of work, one should know the limit to which it should be accepted, to what extent it should be accepted. This is why Krishna is saying to, while talking about karma, if you look into the early chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, karma has its own way of binding a person to this world, isn't it? And several things Krishna spoke in relationship with karma in those chapters. If you study those earlier chapters, you will see Krishna has spoken several things about karma. How to, and finally Krishna said that all this karma, Arjuna, if it's not end up in naishkarmyam, that's the word Krishna uses, naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam means karma that does not bind you anymore, that kind of karma. If it does not become like that, instead if the karma is creating a ragadvesham inside, then what use is that karma? If karma is finally creating ragam dvesham inside, then that karma is dangerous. It is going to cause a lot of problems, is it not? So the art of changing the nature of karma is what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Even though we may all be working in different situations in this world, with different kinds of people and different situations, whatever that comes up, there will always be problems in life. There is no question about that. But if you take Krishna's instructions on karma properly, it will be a relief in life that karma, what does it do at the end? What is the damage karma is doing to us? If you understand that, that is why we discussed those six chapters. But we took it into the mind and the brain and analyzed it, and mind said something and we will say, how is that possible? Krishna can say all this or something like that. We will make in a different way. That's not the point. Point is this, Krishna is saying to us that the nature of the karma, so many things Krishna mentions there, is it not? He says that karma and bhalam, they are not connected each other. Karma and bhalam, they are not connected each other. And in the famous Chatur Sutram also, he mentions this, that na karma bhalahe durbur madhe sangustva karmani. Akarmatvam is not possible. Without staying, without doing any karma, is not possible. Akarmanyada is not possible. But karma is not the cause of the bhalam. Na karma bhalahe durbur madhe sangustva karmani. Ma bhaleshu kadachana, ma karma bhalahe durbur madhe sangustva karmani. So karma bhalam hetu is not karma. Bhalam is also another prarabdham, that is, because that you can see in this world, some people are working very hard and they do not get the result. Somebody else, they don't do much work, they get the result. Is it not? It's not directly proportional always to the effort what you have put in. Two people, they have the same capacity to work and they do the same work, but one person gets more than he expected, another person gets less than what he expected. It's not always the same. And that is the reason. If we know this principle, that's the reason why we have always this labor disputes and everything. They are always saying that, oh, we are all doing the same work, we should be getting the same thing. Isn't it? You can see that. But it is impossible because Krishna has created this system like that. That is the problem. It is Krishna's problem. Krishna created that. How will you judge one particular job has got this much money you should get and another job should get so much money? Who made this decision? That is Krishna's decision, that is. Krishna's, this law of karma and the world of karma is a very big thing. And we have not given enough thoughts to it. And if you go through that six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita first, karma is explained by Krishna in so many ways. Krishna is talking about the intricacies of karma. And if you keep that in perspective and deal with the world, it is possible to understand that it will not, that shanti won't go inside. That's all the advantage. The advantage is you won't lose that peace inside. Otherwise, if you start to deal with the karma in a normal way, like the way the others do in this world, it's going to cause a lot of problems, because the very nature of karma is bewildering. It bewilderment it is to everyone in this world, isn't it? Everyone in this world. So anyway, we'll not go into that karma aspect of it. The important point is that to deal with the karma, how to deal with the karma in the proper way, that we have to learn in order to develop spiritually. In order to develop spiritually, that is a requirement. That is a requirement to know how to deal with the karma. How to deal with the karma. So that is why in the fourth and fifth chapter, if you look in the Bhagavad Gita, they are addressed in two different names. One is called Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yogam, and the other one is called Karma Sanyasa Yogam. So, Jnana Karma Sanyasam is on a higher level. Why is that? Because Karma Sanyasam has happened to him, plus he has got Jnanam with that. The knowledge is there with him. In Karma Sanyasam, you are given up the karmam. Karmam you have sanyasam, you have given the karmam away. But added to that with Jnanam, it changes the whole scenario. Is it not? Jnanis don't engage in karmam to a large degree. The reason being that because they know that they have that understanding, let the thoughts come to the mind and when the thoughts come, they are conscious that these things are happening in the prakriti. These things are happening in the prakriti. So when the thoughts comes to the mind, they are conscious about that, that the voluntary thoughts, that voluntarily if you think about that, I will get trapped in that. So in other words, without giving importance to the thoughts, and body also not doing anything particularly important, not giving any importance to the body or to the thoughts or even to the personality. If you give up all of these three things, that means not giving importance to the personality, not giving importance to the body's activities, and also not giving importance to the thoughts which comes to the mind. If one trains up oneself, able to see peacefully in that way, Krishna says, you will have the result of having drunk some nectar. The shanti comes from that. The effect of shanti is like that. That is why many mahalpas, when they advise you to sit peacefully in a place, whatever it may be, wherever you are, able to sit peacefully without giving importance to the bodily activity, without giving importance to the activities of the ego, and without giving any importance to the thought waves that comes in. Isn't it? So, that power, that strength what you get from that, you will not get it from working, from the karma. It will not come. So, or not even from any yoga process or any sadhana process you can get it. You can get it. Because ultimately you have to realize all sadhana, yoga process, everything is a karma. Is also a karma. And that is all a medicine for the disease of karma. One karma is a disease for another karma. So, the sitting quietly without being disturbed over anything is the process by which takes us away from the grips of the three modes of material nature. This is the first principle. How to free oneself from the three modes of material nature. First thing required is personality or vyaktitvam or ahankaram inside. Not to give importance to it. Not to give importance to the activities of the body. Not to give importance to the thought waves that comes through the mind. If you do that, Krishna is going to explain that in this chapter. Finally, what will happen is you will get yourself released from the modes of nature, at least for a small period of time. So, so it is a very powerful thing. Which one? Being to able to sit freely, quietly, without being affected by anything. You know, while studying these three modes of material nature, I mentioned this yesterday also, we don't know that we are under the modes of nature, isn't it? So what is happening now? When the modes of nature starts working, we run, dance with that. We have no other way. Modes of nature is dictating everything. And Krishna is saying, so long as you are under the modes of nature, it will be very difficult to free yourself from the from to get this knowledge in, to get this knowledge in. So you can see that it's a very powerful thing to become free from the modes of nature. Because sometimes people ask this question, how do I cultivate sattvagunam, mode of goodness, isn't it? Or how do I stay beyond the three modes of material nature? The answer is this, that by refraining from bodily activities sometime in the day, to the extent possible, by refraining from allowing thought waves to come inside and blocking the thoughts that comes in, not allowing the personality or the ego-centered thoughts to develop, or powerful center, ego center, not to operate. If you sit quietly, at least for a period of time, it is possible that the three modes of nature won't work. Three modes of nature won't work. It's amazing exercise that is. Krishna gives a lot of importance. When he says shanti, 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 this is that shanti state which leads to. For people, because our, you can see here that so many times, so many thought waves and emotions will come into the mind. Like you can see in the morning when you wake up from the bed, if you had a good sleep, when the material nature is in a sattvic state, in the goodness, isn't it? Early hours in the morning, sattvagunam is present, predominant in the nature. And that's the time people think is the best time to sleep, isn't it? You can see a lot of people, they like to sleep at that time. It's a very, very bad habit to sleep at that time. When sattvagunam is present so much in the prakriti at that time, all the trees, plants, birds, if you look at them, they are all in that happy state, sattvagunam state, isn't it? It is at that time everybody gets upset if you make any noise. People get upset at that time. He says, oh, we are having a good sleep on a weekend and you disturbed our sleep and all kinds of things. People say that, isn't it? They don't want to wake up before midday. That means that first 6 hours you lost it in the spiritual life. So it is at that is the right time for practicing this freedom from the modes of nature also. So just like you can see, you slept in the night, halfway you started, you woke up in the middle of the night and you looked outside through the window, you see everything is very, very quiet and the nature is at its best, in a very peaceful state, isn't it? So sometimes what does most of the people do? They go and switch the tele on. And we have got this big business, 24 hours going on, isn't it? This is non-stop. So, and that is the worst thing to do, switching on the TV in the middle of the night after waking up. Because and you may go back to sleep again. Between two sleeping times, that means you went to sleep, you woke up, and then for some time you didn't get sleep, but you're going back to sleep again. In between these two sleeping times, if you watch TV, it can do a lot of damage to you. Because suppose you have seen something bad in that way, murder or... that's what mostly they show, isn't it? Murder and killing and fighting and all kinds of nonsense. So if you see that, at that time, your karana shariram, which means the causal body, and the subtle body, sushma shariram, both of them are very sensitive at that time. Between two sleeping times. It's like many people don't sleep all night through like that, isn't it? Especially when you get older. You lose your sleep. You get a few hours sleep, then you may wake up. Then for a few hours you are awake, and then you may go back to sleep again. So when you had a good sleep, and then you have woken up, and then you're going back to sleep again, in between that time, your karana shariram, causal body, and the subtle body is in a very sensitive state at that time. It's in a very sensitive state. So whatever you have seen there at that time, it will go and lie inside. It will go and lie inside. And it will, without any purpose, it will create disturbance inside. It will create disturbance inside. So, therefore, in the night time or in the daytime, whatever you have seen, whatever nonsense, and or whatever you have seen in the middle of the night between two sleeping patterns, If you have nothing else to do at that time, doesn't matter, just use this principle what Krishna has spoken here in this chapter to remain quiet at that time. So, because some old age people think that, oh, I'm not getting sleep. They feel frightened about that. By not sleeping, you won't feel tired. But if you start worrying about, you know, I'm not getting sleep, you'll get tired because of the worry about it. So, so it is at that is the best time to utilize that. Krishna's point is that these three modes of material nature, till you practice it, how to escape from that, that's the process he's going to talk about it. So, it is at that time, between the two sleeping hours, whatever you have broken in between, if you practice this, you can see that you, some degree, you will experience what Krishna is going to talk about it in this chapter. So, important thing is, if at that time, if you look inwards yourself, you will know what this trigunam means. And you can see the trigunam within yourself. You understand what I'm saying? You see, these three modes of material nature is trigunam, isn't it? Trigunam means what? Sattvam, rajas, tamas. This is the three modes of material nature. These three modes of material nature, in our present understanding, it's all in the mind and the brain. We are thinking, if you ask somebody, he'll tell you everything. What does goodness means, passion means, ignorance means? But if you, when you are in a peaceful state, when you yourself is in a peaceful state, just like when you wake up from a sleep, and then you're going to go back to sleep again after a few hours, in between, at that time, if you sit quietly and look to yourself, you will see the presence of this trigunam within yourself. You will know it at that time. And you can also see there that at that time, how that three modes of material nature is presenting to you different things within you. This is something to be experienced. It's not something that can be explained a lot. You have to experience that. That means if you wake up in the middle of the night from the sleep, and if you sit and if you look inwards, you will notice at that time how the mind is presenting to you different things under different modes of nature. And you will experience the movement of the sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. And that is when, that is the best opportunity where not to connect with it. And that is the way Krishna says that, not that otherwise, sometimes what happens is that you put an external effort to do that, in an effort to do that. So in this process, when Krishna will now come to the important side of it, Krishna says that when one practices this presence of the three modes inside, behind that you will experience the presence of the soul. That's what Krishna's point is. Because three modes of material nature, when they are acting, let's put it this way, that we talk about the modes of nature, but during the daytime and during while activities are going on in this world, that clarity of the modes of nature is difficult to notice. In the night time, when sattvagunam is predominant in the world, or in the early hours in the morning, not in the night time, early hours in the morning, when sattvagunam is predominant, see how the rishis have analyzed the world, how nicely they have noticed the various changes that's happening. You can see also, generally, this is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavadam also, vanam tu satyo vasam, gramam rajasam uchyate, tamasam dyuta sagadanam, man nigetam tu nirgunam. There is a verse like that in the Ekadasha Skandam. What it's saying is that, vanam tu satyo vasam, that forest-like atmosphere. What does forest-like atmosphere means? Quietness, everything very natural, isn't it? The trees, the birds, and the animals, everything living in line with the nature. That means no demoniac activities. Human society means rajogunam and tamogunam, is it not? So, vanam to satyo vasam, in that sattogunam, when it is predominant, you should put your attention into the world, into the nature. And at that time, you will yourself inside feel the effect of that three gunam. That is the point. How sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, because the influence of the prakriti in you at that time is very strong, provided you are willing to listen. If you are able to connect with the prakriti at that time, that is why these early hours in the morning, spiritual activities are recommended. For this reason only, that at that time, everything is very favorable. Prakriti is favorable more than anything else. Like people say, they chant the rounds, 16 rounds at 10 o'clock in the night, after working whole day and doing various activities. They find it very difficult. Then it just becomes more like it's not having any effect, because prakriti is not favorable. Place is not favorable. Nothing is favorable. Whole day your mind has been under the lower modes of nature, and that makes it very, very difficult. So, to observe the three modes of material nature, the right time is when the prakriti is favorable. That means early hours in the morning. Early hours in the morning. That is why Brahma Muhurtam and all these things are given so much importance. Temples. You can see, when you go in the morning, that experience, and when you go in the evening, that experience is different. Is it not? When you go in the morning hours to the temple, the people who come to the temple and the influence of the people in the temple is different than when you go into the temple in the evening. You can see everywhere in the world it is like that. It's like that. And similarly, the Shraddha, Bhakti, everything in the morning is different than the Shraddha and Bhakti in the evening, or in the night when you go there, because of the prakriti's influence. It's not the person's fault. The prakriti has changed everything when you go there and involve yourself in that. So, Krishna's point is that these three modes of material nature, if you observe that within you first, how it is moving your own ahankaram, false ego, how it is changing everything. And at the same time, Krishna also mentions there that take up the opportunity to look for the movement of these modes of nature. And at that time, you will see behind the scene that the Atma is present. Within the background of the Atma, the three modes of material nature is making its effect on us. So, a story about that tales from the ashrams. He mentions there like this, a story. A sadhu, a devotee or a person who's practicing spiritual life, he went to the river to bring water with a pitcher, with a pot. And when he got there, he wanted to get water from the river. When he got there, the river was flowing very smooth, very quiet, and the sound of the river's flow and the birds that were flying around, and overall a peace everywhere on the river bank. When he saw all that, he fell into a kind of a, he wanted to sit there and perform some meditation, dhyanam in other words. So he closed his eyes and sat there. It so happened that at that time he experienced his self inside, Swarupa Smriti. Swarupa Smriti means that he started feeling that he is not the body, rather the self inside. This will happen. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see Sri Narada Maharshi, after his mother's death, he wandered around in the forest. And that was the time he experienced Krishna's presence there. Krishna appeared in front of him, isn't it? So he stayed there for quite a long time, this person who went to the riverbank. And then when he woke up, and he collected his water in the pot and came back to the ashram. when he came back to his own ashram, where he was used to have his where he used to live, he found that the whole ashram has changed, and all the people who were in the ashram, they have also gone away. And when he saw them, he couldn't recognize them. Everybody has changed. He couldn't understand anything, what has happened. So only then he understood that 200 years have gone since he have gone and come back. 200 years have passed. Because that is the way Jnanis discuss this. They are saying that if you go into that spiritual side of the life, time has no influence there, isn't it? Although this may appear to be an impractical story for us today, when you look into Puranams and when you look into the history of the rishis, these things is not unusual. It can happen. Because as far as they are concerned, once you free yourself from the grip of time, and because we do not know what is transcendental life means, when we talk about transcending the time, we do not understand. For us, everything, we are so used to the time factor. Krishna is saying that once you have experienced this, this is a story in the tales of the sages. They are saying that they came back, he came back, he saw 200 years have gone. 200 years have gone. So, it is in the prakriti, in the material nature, and in the mind, what the time, the space, and cause, everything. They are not in the spiritual life. In spiritual awareness, time doesn't exist. In spiritual awareness, space doesn't exist. In spiritual awareness, there is no cause and effect, isn't it? Cause and effect is a part of the material nature. In material nature, we think everything, there must be a cause. We think like that. And we counteract the cause, there's the effect of the cause, we analyze it like that. But in the spiritual realm, we do not take it like that. We don't look at it that way. Because there is no time, there is no space, there is no cause, there is no effect in that way. Because this cause and effect is an important thing. Like time and space, we have spoken many times before, isn't it? We know the problem with time and space. Again, we have understood about that through the mind and the brain. That's the problem. That time and space is important, and we know the problems with time and space. Similarly, cause and effect also. Just like cause and effect, when we say cause and effect, what it means is, in all transactions in this world, every time we do any transaction, we look at the effect of the transaction, isn't it? Suppose I'm dealing with someone in any issue, when I say something, how that person will react, that's important to that, isn't it? So similarly, if I am taking a business deal with someone, I will look at the reaction that comes from there. That means every action and its reaction, every cause and its effect. That's important for us while doing in our material life. In spiritual life, that doesn't come. Because why is that? Why is it like that, this cause and effect so important? Because cause and effect is also a activity of the modes of nature. From the three modes of material nature comes this cause and effect. That is why we are frightened about doing certain things in life, isn't it? Just like when you have to be careful when you deal with people, when you deal with organizations, when you deal with government, when you deal with income tax people, when you deal with police, we'll deal with all levels, there's always the fear what the reaction will be, is it not? So it is with fear you are making the transaction with others. That is the cause and effect. So this cause and effect, desha kala nimittam, it is called. Desham is space, kalam is time, and nimittam is the cause and effect. So this cause and effect is not a factor in spiritual life. It's not a factor. Because you have gone beyond the cause and effect. It's a different state of existence altogether. So that is why Krishna says here, this state what Krishna is talking about, idam jnanam upashritya janma mama sadharmyam agata. Krishna does not believe in cause and effect. Arjuna was lamenting, if I kill all these people, what will my relatives will die? die and I will be responsible for that. Yudhishthira was saying the same thing. I am responsible for killing all. Krishna never said once that. Because why? Mama sadharmya magada. That's the reason. This is sadharma. Sadharma means that Krishna is free to do what he wants to do. And that is not disturbing Krishna under any circumstances. And because it is like that, Krishna was able to drive the chariot. Krishna was able to be the messenger for the Pandavas. Krishna was able to wash the feet of Durvasa Muni and many other sages who came for the Rajasuyam. Can you imagine? Is there a god anywhere in the history, in this world, who will go and wash the feet of all the great sages? That's what Krishna did, wasn't it? In Rajasuyam sacrifice, when Krishna washed the feet of all the sages, that's a service given to him by Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira told him, Yudhishthira didn't know what to give it to him. Actually, Yudhishthira was in a predicament, what to offer to Krishna. Everybody else was given different services. Duryodhana was given the finance side, Bhima was given the feast side, organizing the feast. And like this, every department was handed over to different people. Nagula and Sahadeva was given the reception of the VIPs and all that. So like this, but what Krishna said, what am I supposed to do? What is my service, he asked. And Yudhishthira started thinking what to say to Krishna. The personality who has organized everything. And then Krishna himself came up with a proposal that all these great personalities will come. Durvasav and many others mentioned there. When they come, rishis, isn't it? When they come, you have Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, Parashuram, all great souls, they will be there. Somebody has to welcome them properly. Welcoming them means what? Washing their feet first. Sages, I'll do that, Krishna says. Krishna very happily washed all their feet and took the water and sprinkled on his head. And there was no problem with Krishna doing that. Supreme Personality of Godhead has no difficulty in doing this. Why is that? This is that word, sadharmya magada. This is sadharmya. Sadharmya means that no more identification with... For us, we will think, oh, this is not our protocol, we will say. Here, everything is protocol. Isn't it? For everything, there is a protocol here. It's a sannyasi, there's another protocol. You should be feast and somewhere else. We have graded everybody in different levels. Somebody is a pot washer, he can eat some prasadam after whatever is left in the pot. This is all our mind, this made up all these things. It is these things that we have to get rid of from inside. But unfortunately, we make it worse now with our way of doing things, isn't it? Instead of getting rid of this, when Krishna is saying to us, samatvam yoga muchyate, equal vision, equal vision, equal vision. And he says, if you are finding it difficult, visarjas mayamanansvan, risham vridamja dehigim, praname dandavad bhumav, ashva chandala khokaram. All these statements are there in the Bhagavadam, but it doesn't apply to us. That's for others, rest of the world, not for us. We still do what our society has told us to do. That's our protocol. That's what guides us, the society. Can you imagine society guiding you in spiritual life? You'll go to hell, the whole society. That's what will happen. If you follow the society rules in spiritual life, that's what is going to happen. You will go with the society to the same hell. This is what is the sad side. But that brain isn't working. What can you do? It is there in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is openly telling us Krishna is the best example for that. In spite of all that, we have created all kinds of falsity in our dealings with each other. And false principles, false ideas, and no knowledge either about the spiritual life. And the result is that is why Krishna is saying here that this practice of spiritual life, how to free yourself from the three modes of material nature, that's the topic here. So when the modes of nature are operating, first of all, to see the things in a subtle level is very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Because we are so gross in our own mind and the body, absorbed in that all the time and all the activities related to that, isn't it? So here, the situation that this desham kalam nimittam, In the Bhagavatam also it's spoken at different places. But the problem is, in the Bhagavatam, Shuka Brahmarshi will say like this and go. Teshagala Nimittam, he will say and go. But you are supposed to understand everything, what it's meant by that. What's the effect of time? What's the effect of space? What's the effect of cause and effect? So escaping from all these things, that plane, Krishna says there, there is no death there. There is no death there. And tat shuddham, this is why in the Bhagavatam you will see very final verses. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there, kasmayena, that verse, kasmayena vibhasitoya matulo jnana pradipa pura. Tadrubena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrubina. Yogindraya tadhalpanadad bhagavadradaya karunyatam. Then, tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amrtam satyam param dhimahi. That verse, that word. Tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amrtam satyam param dhimahi. That is that state Krishna is talking about. Tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amrtam. Pure, vimalam, vishokam, freedom from all kinds of duplicity or lamentation. Amrutam, nectarian state, satyam param dhimahi. That is a state of satyam param dhimahi. That satyam's nature is like that. Krishna is that satyam. That is why he was doing like that. Nobody could understand all these things, isn't it? Krishna's activities are... Unless one is spiritually understood things, you won't understand Krishna's activities. We will understand Krishna's activities in a different way, otherwise, misunderstand things. But first of all, before understanding Krishna's pastimes, you have to understand the spiritual principles involved in that. That what this transcendental state means, when Krishna is doing so many things, you may start wondering, oh, Krishna can do all that, he is the Supreme Lord, he can do whatever he likes. We will say things like that. But you must know this also, that when Krishna is doing certain things, there is a spiritual principle behind that. This spiritual principle is this, that all these things, Deshakala Nimittam has no effect on Krishna. Deshakala Nimittam has no effect on Krishna. Arjuna had a problem because Arjuna said, if I kill them, they are my relatives, my teachers, my family members, this, that and the other. For Krishna, what does Krishna do? Creates fight between the family member. You fight and kill each other, I'm going, he said. This is the difference between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna found so difficult to fight with the family members, isn't it? And Krishna, what did he do? Got all the family members together, got them drunk, made them to take the sticks and beat up each other. He said, when everybody is dead, Krishna says, I'm going now. Padmamayatre nimilayat. That's Krishna. Why? Deshakala nimittam is not there in Krishna. Nimittam is like that. Deshakala nimittam. Nimittam is this thing that is causing us this problem. That due to our identification with the body, family, friends, society like this, that has grown around us, it's such a cover that is existing, that always we are finding it very difficult to come out of it, isn't it? What we are thought is that, okay, after reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we thought, yeah, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is called good, I'll take it, but I want all the society also to come with me to go to the spiritual world, because we can form another society there after going to the spiritual world. But that won't happen. That's the difficulty. So that is why you can see that when you look at Bhagavad Gita, it is addressed to you. If you want to escape, you can escape. But if you want to bring the society with you, it may not happen. Or even the family, it will not happen. It's not possible. That doesn't work like that. So that is the principle. Tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amrutam satyam param dhimahi. That is shuddham, that is freedom from shokam. Na alpa alma abhakritam alma vishoko vimurtyuhu abhivasaha satyakamaha satyasangalpaha. All these things are mentioned in the Shruti, in the Vedam. So, about the Swarupam of us, and the very nature of that is, it is beyond the three modes of material nature, and Shanti is its Swarupam. And finding out that, and realizing that, and that is the greatest knowledge, what Krishna is saying in this chapter, that is the greatest knowledge. If this knowledge comes to a person, or if this realization happens to a person, in essence, Krishna says, One who has found out that, he is a greatest yogi. You see, greatest yogi. And there is no other yoga system which is anywhere closer to that. And that yoga system will remain forever. On the other hand, any other yoga system which is somewhat connected with your false ego, that will have problem. Because there are so many other yoga processes also. So that yoga system will disappear. Suppose you have followed some other yoga process which is based on your false ego. That means you have put the effort into it, you have tried to realize it. That yoga system which is connected with your false ego inside, when your false ego disappears, that yoga system also will disappear within you, because it is tied to the false ego. It is tied to the false ego. So all the yoga sadhana, you have to know these things because they are important. That yoga sadhana will bring you to certain state, avastha, but truth won't be there. Truth won't be there. Truth is not an avastha. You know what avastha means? Avastha means a state. Avastha means state. Now, in Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti also, due to particular yoga sadhana, you can achieve a certain state. You can achieve a certain state. But truth is not a state. That is what it is. It is not a state. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is all states. So even in the Jagrat state, for example, through the yoga process, dhyanam, meditation, or japam, or any other process like that, which is more like a karmam you have performed, the result of that is you will reach certain perfection in the vacant state. But still, it is tied down to your false ego inside, ahankaram inside. When the ahankaram disappears from inside, that sadhana also will lose its strength, because it was tied down to the ahankaram, which you can understand. That anybody, for example, someone who is performing a lot of yoga processes, yoga, ashtanga yoga or asanam or whatever that is, if it is tied down to ahankaram inside, with ahankaram's change, that will also change. That will also change. So, whereas this knowledge, what Krishna is talking about, idam jnanam upashritya, this knowledge Krishna is saying here, only when you lose your connection with the mind and the false ego, only when you lose your connection, only then this knowledge will come. See the difference there? All other yoga sadhana, whatever sadhana what we do, is tied down to our ahankaram inside. Is it not? Is it not? That depending on your ego, you will act. Somebody will chant 16 rounds, somebody will chant 64 rounds, somebody may chant 192 rounds, but there is still I am chanting, is there. To a large degree, it is there. I am doing this, isn't it? I am behind that. So, yoga sadhana is very much dependent on that ahankaram inside. How much ahankaram you have, ahankaram has the one which is kept that going, happening. So, all the yogas, similarly dhyanam, meditation also, or deity worship, or anything like that, everything which is happening through the body and the mind, which is in relationship with the false ego inside, has this effect in a person. Whereas, in relationship with this knowledge, Krishna is saying here, when you completely lose your mind, and completely the false ego disappears, it is only at that time that this jnanam upashritya, that's why that word upashritya used there. Idam jnanam upashritya. See that word upashritya? Upashritya is bringing this into it. Upashritya, Krishna is saying here that that this is not a knowledge that has to come after doing something. It's a question of realizing within that this is something I am, that awareness inside. Because in other words, it is a natural thing what is already there inside a person. And what has happened is your Shraddha, attention has fallen on that. And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita's commentary it says, ബ്രഹ്മവിദ്യ സർവവിദ്യാ പ്രതിഷ്ഠാം. ഓൾ അതർ വിദ്യ ഈസ് സപ്ലിമെൻ്ററി ടു ബ്രഹ്മവിദ്യ. ബ്രഹ്മവിദ്യ ഈസ് ദ വിദ്യ റിലേറ്റഡ് ടു ദ സെൽഫ്. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, ഇറ്റ്സ് എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഓഫ് റിയലൈസിങ് അവർ ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി, വാട്ട് വി ആർ. വൺസ് ദ ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി ഈസ് റിയലൈസ്ഡ്, ദെൻ ദർ ഈസ് നോ മോർ സാധന, ദർ ഈസ് നോ മോർ ഫോളോയിങ് ബാക്ക് ഇൻ ടു കമ്മിങ് ബാക്ക് ടു ദ ഓൾഡ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് അഗെയിൻ. ഇറ്റ്സ് ജസ്റ്റ് എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഓഫ് ഗെറ്റിംഗ് ബാക്ക് ടു യുവർ റിയൽ ഐഡൻറ്റിറ്റി. ബ്രഹ്മവിദ്യ സർവവിദ്യ പ്രവിഷ്ടം. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വൈ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ, ഇതം ജ്ഞാനം ഉപാശ്രിത്യ മമ സാധർമ്മ്യമാഗത സർഗേബി നോപജായന്തേ പ്രളയേന വ്യഥന്തിച്ച സോ യൽ ജ്ഞാത്വ കൃഷ്ണ സെഡ് ബിഫോർ. ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് ഇൻ ടു ഏർലിയർ വേഴ്സ്, റിമെമ്പർ ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ് ആർ ക്വൈറ്റ് ഡെപ്ത്. യത് ജ്ഞാത്വ മുനയ സർവേ പരാം സിദ്ധിമിതോ ഗതാഹ. റിമെമ്പർ ഇൻ ദ ലാസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്, ഫസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് യത് ജ്ഞാത്വ മുനയ സർവേ പരാം സിദ്ധിമിതോ ഗതാഹ. ഈ സൈസ് ഋഷീസ് ഹാവ് ഫൗണ്ട് ഔട്ട് ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദേ ഹാവ് ബിക്കം പെർഫെക്റ്റ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്. യത് ജ്ഞാത്വ മുനയ സർവേ പരാം സിദ്ധിമിതോ ഗതാഹ. സോ ഇൻ ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ് ഹി സെഡ് ദാറ്റ്. And in the second verse, again, Krishna is talking about this knowledge. Because all these six chapters is all about transcendental knowledge, isn't it? And you shouldn't think in a negative way about these chapters, thinking that, oh, these chapters is going to make me a jnani, and jnanam is going dangerous for the bhakti and all that. That's all misunderstanding. There's no meaning at all in all that. Jnanam is not against bhakti. Jnanam is not different from bhakti. Krishna, otherwise, why importance to given to these chapters in the Bhagavad Gita? So here, we saw the 13th chapter. First, Krishna spoke about Kshetram Kshetrajnan, isn't it? And in this chapter, Krishna is saying again about that, stressing that importance of the knowledge. He is again saying to us that the reason why you are not realizing that is due to the three modes of material nature. And little by little, Krishna is introducing unto these three modes of material nature. So, first he spoke about the first he spoke about the truth through these two verses. He spoke about the importance of the truth. Then Krishna is now going to talk about apara prakriti. Apara prakriti means bhuta prakriti. The another word for that, avara prakriti, is called bhuta prakriti. Why? Five material elements is present there, isn't it? Five material elements is present there. So we'll start that in a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vama mahadava agni nirvavanam shreyakaitava chandrika vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam ആനന്ദം ബുദ്ധിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണ അമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസ്വനം പരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുധാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിയമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാലാ ഏതാദൃശാ തവ കൃപാൻ ഭഗവാൻ മമാപി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാ ജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരഭിഷുനീചേന തരോരപി സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിന മാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ദുഗിത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനുജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാം മാംഷമേ ഭവാംബുദൗ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം യുഗളദശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിരാ പുളകേർ നിചിതം കഥാവബൂ തവ നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി. ഇതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദവിരഹേണ മേ പിനഷ്ടു മാമദർശനം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാതഥാവാവിദധാതുലംബടോ നത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തുനയേമനാപരാ. So we saw these two verses so far. Krishna is talking first thing about the destination of those realizes through this process, which is the first verse. Param bhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanam uttamam yal jnatva munaya sarve param siddhimito gadaha, which we have seen. Then in the second verse, Krishna said, idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharmya magadaha sarge bi nobi jayante pralayena vyathanticha, which we have seen yesterday and today, isn't it? Important thing is, you can notice there, Krishna, in the translation also, Krishna Prabhupada is mentioning there, by becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature, which is my own nature, which is like my own nature. So, that is the important thing. So, we have discussed that word so far, and we have seen that after this, Krishna now goes back into apara prakriti. Talking about prakriti again. And here, one thing it is, in a very bhavanalmagam. Bhavanalmagam means spoken in a very imaginary way, or in his imagination, Krishna is talking these things. That is why the next verse is, how do I say that? I don't know. In English, bhavanalmagam means that in your bhavana, that is how it is, that creation, in your imagination, how that is happening. That is the next verse. Let's look at that verse and then we'll understand that. So, verse 3. Mama yonirmahal brahma tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tato bhavadi bharatam. Mama yonirmahal brahma tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tato bhavadi bharatam. This is that bhavanatmakam. Bhavanatmakam means mama yonirmahal brahmam tasmin garbham dadhami aham sambhava sarva bhudanam tato bhavadi bharatam. Translation: the total material nature called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharata. Son of Bharata. Mama yonir mahat brahmam tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tato bhavati Bharata. Isn't it? Tato bhavati Bharata. So, you may ask, what does that mean, isn't it? When you read that verse, it's very difficult to get what Krishna is saying, isn't it? It's a difficult verse, that is. Mama yonir mahal brahmam, Krishna says, my womb is this big brahmam. Tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. And this brahmam is constantly delivering the babies. Tasmin garbham dadha. Brahmam is always pregnant, in other words. Always having babies. And sambhava sarva bhudanam tado bhavati bharata. In a literal sense, if you read that translation also, it's difficult. It says total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharata. And Krishna has also said earlier that he is the father and Brahman is the prakriti, or this thing. So here, the cause of all living entities, root cause of all the living entities, is called Moola Prakriti. Moola Prakriti it is called. It is also another way for address, that is Krishna's Maya power, Maya Shakti. A third way, it's also addressed that Prakriti that comes from the Chit Shakti. Comes from the Chit Shakti. Maya Shakti, or Chit Shakti, Prakriti, and the same thing is what Krishna is saying is Mahat Brahmam here. Mahat Brahmam. Mahat Brahmam. Mahatattvam, another word used in the Bhagavatam. Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam, Mahal Brahmam, Maya, all this refers to this one thing. This one thing. Sometimes we think in a different way because we have this difficulty that you give name to something, then you think that name means only that. But unfortunately in spiritual life, there are so many things, just like when we refer to soul, we'll refer it as consciousness. We'll refer to that as Brahman. We'll refer to that as Adhyatmam. We'll refer to that as Jnapti. We'll refer to that as Sutralma. We refer to that as Prajna. We'll refer to that as Atma, Bodham, Avabodham. All of that thing, if you ask what is it, it's one and the same thing, isn't it? But in which way you have presented it accordingly, you take that word. Just like Jnapti uses, Muchukunda uses the word Jnapti. Pipalayana Maharshi will use the word Sutralmav. Another place it will be used as Kodastham. The same thing, Vastu is the same. Same thing, spoken at different places in different ways, and we start getting confused about that, is it not? So what is in spiritual life is, important thing is, not to give too much importance to the words, rather to the message. That's more important. Words are there that spoken for a certain reason why that particular word is used, Kodastham. Kodastham word comes in the Bhagavad Gita in many places, Kodastham. Kodastham, Krishna talks about in the 6th chapter, this also in the earlier chapters, I think, somewhere else. So, word may be different. What is it that refers to? It refers to the same thing, Atma, or the soul, or consciousness, or whatever. Again, you have to keep saying different things about the same Vastu inside. And it is the same Atma that is referred to in the Bhagavatam as Vastu. Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam. That Vastu is what? The same thing. Isn't it? So, in Adhibhutam, Adhyalpam, Adhidevam, in different levels, it's spoken in different ways. And similarly, when it comes to Prakriti also, we will address it as Mahatattvam or Mahal Brahmam. Krishna calls it as Mahal Brahmam. Or other words, it is Mahatattvam or Mahal Brahmam, which is the same as Maya, which is the same as Mula Prakriti, in other words. Prakriti, in other words, it's the same thing. Prakriti is Maya. Prakriti is Maya. And it's the same thing Mahal Brahmam, Krishna says. And it is the cause of everything. It's the cause of everything. And the same thing is called Avidya. That's another important thing. Avidya. She is Avidya. Mula Prakriti is Avidya. Avidya. Just like, why is it called Avidya? Say for example, in your deep sleep state, we go into a certain darkness, isn't it? In the deep sleep state, what is happening? We go into a state of darkness. And it is from that darkness creation starts. Is it not? When does creation start? When you wake up. That's when the creation starts. Don't look at the world and start thinking, this is permanent here, kept like this forever. It's not. Permanent thing is inside us. We are the permanent one, not this world. This world becomes a reality only when you wake up in the morning from the, after the sleep, isn't it? Suppose you go into deep sleep. Where is the world? World is gone. So, unfortunately, due to our conditioning, this is called avidya. Avidya is this. Avidya means to give some importance to something which is not important and ignore something which is important. In Atma, in the presence of me, the world exists. If I am not there, world is not there, isn't it? It is in me that the world is manifesting. That is why it says here that first from that darkness, that is the state in the deep sleep state, which is called avidya, or from there what happens is we go and enter into a darkness state. That's the darkness state, isn't it? That's why we say tamogunam is very predominant in the deep sleep. Because of this darkness present there. You lose everything. Body, mind, intelligence, ego. Whatever you are experiencing in the vacant state, everything you are losing there. Or in the dream state, you are losing there. Isn't it? And you are also losing your identity completely. Any identity, what you have, you also lost that. And it is from there that the srishti starts. Creation begins from that. That Krishna mentioned this in the 11th chapter. If you look into the 11th chapter, you will see there. Bhavapyav hi bhutanam. If you see, when Krishna started talking about the universal form, Krishna says to Arjuna, to Arjuna, Bhavapyav hi bhutanam shudho vistarasho maya tattva kamalapatraksha mahalmam abhichavyayam. There is a verse there. I think it is the Bhavapyav hi bhutanam, which 11.2, is it? Bhavapyav hi bhutanam shudho vistarasho maya tattva kamalapatraksha mahalmam abhichavyayam. There, in that verse, I have heard from you, in the translation you will see, I have heard from you in detail about the appearance and disappearance of every living entity, as realized through your inexhaustible glories. So actually, that is what was discussed in the 10th chapter. If you remember, what was 10th chapter about? 10th chapter, we have spoken about the opulences of the Absolute. And there, the way the appearance and living entity's presence is spoken there in that 10th chapter. That is where Krishna said about this Aham Atma Gudakesha. Yeah. So all the living entities, Sarva Bhudashaya Sthita, if you connect, look at that verse, you can see Krishna is saying there that all living entities are me, he present in me, I am present in them. Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashaya Sthita Aham Adyancha Madhyancha Bhudanam Andamevacha. Everything is me, in the beginning, middle, end, everything, it's me only. So there Krishna has spoken about the process of creation, how it has come about. Bhavapya Bhavam Pyohi Bhudanam. So after saying that, Krishna says here, that is in the case of Veshti Prakriti. Veshti Prakriti and Samashti Prakriti, two things. Veshti Prakriti means individual living beings, how we have all come about. That's what Krishna has spoken there. Now, similarly, for the Samashti Prakriti, Samashti Prakriti means this manifested world, what we see now. And this root cause of this, Mula Karanam or Mula Prakriti, and that is called Mahaprakriti or Mahal Brahmam. And Krishna is saying that is my potency called Maya. So that is my potency called Maya. Maya is that potency that is spread all over and is presenting in front of us in this form. What you see now is Maya. That's what Krishna is saying. In the 10th chapter, Krishna spoke about the Veshti. Veshti means individual living beings, how they appeared. Which is again, Krishna says, it's me who is present in everyone. Spirit, soul, Alma, Bodham, in other words. Now, Krishna is saying, this manifested world, creation, what we call it as this creation, is the power that has come, which is given so many names here, which is a Samashti Prakriti. Samashti means what do they call in English, they say, in a large scale, in a miniature scale, and in a expanded form. Veshti and Samashti, that's what it means. Veshti means in a individually, in a smaller level, like individual each one of us. Samashti means in a large scale, like this creation that has happened. Something like that, yeah. So Krishna says that Krishna, that is Maya, my Maya. Krishna says, Sarva Kamebhyah Mahatvat Karanam Yonihi. Because Yoni means, if you look at that verse, you will see that Mama Yoni Mahal Brahmam Tasmin Garbham Dadhamyaham Sambhava Sarva Bhudanam Tado Bhavadi Bharada. So Mama Yoni. Yoni means source. Yoni means source. So from that Yoni or the source, all the names and forms have come. All the names and forms have come. For example, in the Shaiva Siddhantam, they will say like this: Shakti and Shiva joins together and then creation happens. In the Shaiva, in Vaishnava Siddhantam, it is like the way Krishna has spoken here. So that Shakti in the Shaiva Siddhantam is what here Krishna calls it as Mahat Brahmam. Mahat Brahmam. So it is from there everything has come. Everything has come from that. And all living entities also has come from that. Tasmin yono hiranya garbaha ityartaha. So basically Krishna say here, you look. Mama sobhudam madhiya maya trigunalmiga prakritihi yonihi sarva bhudhanam sarva karyebhyo mahatvad bharanachasya vikaranam mahal brahmam iti yoni eva vishishyate. Krishna is saying that this womb, or what Krishna calls it as yoni, yoni means the womb, this mama yoni, this yoni is made in with three things. What are they? Sattvam, rajasa and tamasa. That is how the womb is. Womb is made of three things. That mama subhuda madhya maya trigunal miga, trigunam, the three modes of material nature, is with that this prakriti yonihi. And that prakriti is superior to everything, Krishna is saying, and it is the cause of all the changes that is happening in the creation. Try to understand this, that this prakriti is the cause of everything and it is superior to everything, and at the same time all the changes that's happening in the prakriti is in the creation is due to the presence of these three modes of material nature that is present in the prakriti, and these three modes is the yoni or the womb of that maya or prakriti, and therefore Krishna is also called Mahat Brahmam and yoni, both words are same, yoni or Mahat Brahmam. In the words Krishna is saying that mama yoni Mahat Brahmam, yoni is the same, yoni and Mahal Brahmam is one and the same. Yoni means the womb and Mahal Brahmam is that womb, and Krishna is saying that yoni or Mahal Brahmam has got these three things in there, inside that. Which one? Sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is there. And and because this Mahat Brahmam or prakriti, in other words, it is the cause of administration. Her job is administration. Everything administration. Tasmin Mahadi Brahmani Yono Garbham Hiranya Garbhasya Janmano Bijam Sarva Bhuda Janma Karanam Bijam Dadami Nitshipami Kshetra Kshetrajna Prakriti Dvaya Shaktiman Ishwaraha Aham Avidya Kama Karma Ubhadi Swarupanu Vidhayinam Kshetrajnam Kshetrayana Samyojayami Ityartaha. Krishna says, so in this Mahal Brahmam or my prakriti or the yoni or the womb, in there I deposit the seed for the birth of the Hiranyagarbham. Hiranyagarbham, Hiranyagarbhan is the Krishna's first appearance. If you remember in the Bhagavatam, if you look, there is a discussion about Hiranyagarbham. Hiranyagarbham, that golden egg, from there he has come out. That you have to read Bhagavatam, then you will see that explanation to that. So Krishna says here that I deposit the seed which causes the birth of all the living entities. Birth of all living entities. So Kshetram Kshetrajna, true powers in the prakriti is, and both are in Ishvara, in Krishna, Ishvara. And through that I add on few things to it. What are they? First thing, ajnanam, avidya. I add to that. And then what else? Kamam, desires. I add to that. And then I add one more thing, karmam. Ajnanam, kamam, karmam. These three things are added on to the Mahal Brahmam, where Krishna impregnates that with all the living entities. Seed. Sambhavaha ulpati sarvabhudanam hiranya garbholpati dvarena tada tasmad garbhadhanad bhavati he bharata. So, Hiranyagarbha's birth, That we will come to that later. Hiranyagarbham. Hiranyagarbham, what Hiranyagarbham means, it is in the Bhagavadam in the second canto. If you read that, Shukabrahmarshi begins with the description of Hiranyagarbham. So, before going to that, we'll see here. So, this living being, Jiva, in other words, which is another form of false ego, isn't it? Which we address as false ego. But at the same time, it is spiritual also. Although it is Ahankaram, it is Jiva. At the same time, it is Jiva. To couple Jiva with the Kshetram. Kshetram is this body, with the gross body, with the mind and intelligence and these five material elements made of the gross body. So, this when Krishna uses that word, Krishna uses there, tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. What does that mean? Tasmin garbham dadhamyaham, Krishna is saying. What it means is, how this ahankaram inside, Krishna puts it into the jiva and packs it together in the prakriti. That happens in the prakriti, in the maya. It happens in the maya. Remember this, Atma on its own has no problems. It doesn't have happiness, distress. It doesn't have kartutva, bhoktutva, raga, dvesham. What Krishna says about himself. He doesn't have any of those, isn't it? Krishna doesn't have raga, dvesham. Krishna doesn't have kartutva, bhoktutva. And Krishna has no time, no space, no nimittam, cause, effect, nothing. That's a transcendental state. Our nature also is like that. But when mahatattvam comes, mahatbrahmam or yoni, Krishna says here, tasmin yonau says that mama yonir mahal brahmam tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. We have to understand this process of taking birth, the way Krishna is explaining there. Tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. Krishna says that I add on these three things to that. Which one? Avidya, kamam and karmam. Three things. As soon as these three things are added to us, we have lost our spiritual nature. We have become here with ego. Ahankaram has come from that. And with the development of that false ego, we have become conditioned, identified with the body, and we have changed, our spiritual nature has gone. We have become very much a materialistic person. In other words, then we identify only with the body. We can't identify. So you can see avidya, kamam, karmam. These are the three things, when it is added to the spirit soul and with the prakriti, with the material elements, that we became the way we are now. Do you remember in Kunti Devi's prayers, she says this, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. She says there. Do you remember? It's a Kunti Devi's prayers. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kamam karmavi. So she knew this, that those who understand the way creation has happened, Kunti Devi knew this. Kunti Devi says there, these three things are the problem. Avidya, kamam and karmam. All the three are problems for us. Avidya is the ajnanam in us, ignorance. Kamam is the desires in us. And karmam is the result of all that things. Avidya leads to kamam, kamam leads to karmam, and karmam leads to bondage. Isn't it? That's the sequence, how it works. Avidya, first avidya. Avidya brings desires inside, and desires leads into action, action leads into bondage. Bondage. So that's the sequence where it's going. So here Krishna is saying, tasmin garbham dadhamyaham. Just like a man impregnates a woman with the seed, isn't it? Comparing it as is a comparison. Krishna is using that here. Similar to that, Krishna is saying. That's why this tasmin garbham dadhamyaham has come from that. You see, that to make it understand easier, Krishna used the process of procreation in the human species or animal species. That's what he's using there. That how a man coming into contact with a woman impregnates a woman with his semen, and then life develops in the womb of the mother. From the father's seed goes into the mother's womb, and the life develops there, and the body develops, and life happens from that. Similarly, in Brahman, Mahat Brahman, or Maya, or Mula Prakriti, whatever it is called in different ways, according to the way address soul, we address Prakriti also in different ways. So whether it's in Maya or Mahatattvam or Mula Prakriti, Krishna says, I impregnate them with this. I am already present there in the form of Jiva, is there, but it becomes a Jiva only when these three things are added on. Which one? Avidya, Kamam and Karmam. Avidya, Kamam and Karmam. So, and when it is deposited, Krishna says, in Prakriti I deposit this seed, I deposit the seed. It is at that time Prakriti gets activated. Prakriti gets activated. Tasmin, so Tasmin Garbham Dadhamyaham means how to join the Jiva with the Kshetram. Kshetram means this material elements, material body, everything together is the Kshetram. So, keeping this as an example, which means the man-woman relationship, as the father deposits the seed into the mother's womb and then the child takes birth, similar way Krishna is saying here that in Prakriti I deposit my seed. Krishna is the seed. And Krishna is the seed. And that is why when we say that the Atma is Krishna, that's what it means. When we talk about ourselves, we say we are, Krishna is present inside, Antaryami present inside, isn't it? That is that seed which Krishna has deposited into the Mahat Brahma. The Mahat Brahma. So it is at that time, it is when Krishna deposits that seed in there, that the it gets activated and Prakriti starts the delivery. Prakriti starts the delivery. What is the delivery? Namarupam. Different names, different forms comes out from that. From Krishna's impregnation of the Prakriti. All different species, 8.4 million different species are the children that has come about by Krishna's depositing the seed in the Brahma, Mahal Brahma. Because Chaitanyam, Krishna says, any time when living force, Chaitanyam, comes into contact with Prakriti, creation must happen. This is the principle. If ever living force comes into contact with Prakriti, creation must happen. And here in this verse, Krishna has spoken like this. All these things are not very easy to understand. These are not very easy to understand. So, and if you start using your intelligence to try to understand this, you won't get any understanding of these things. That is the beauty of, and beauty and the secret of creation. If you try to, you see, all of us do the same mistake. We try to understand with the mind. And Krishna's point is, don't try to understand creation with your mind and the brain. You won't understand. It will all remain some verses. You can tell others that this is the creation, what happened and all that. But it will be very difficult to know creation through mind and the brain. To the mind and the brain. Because Srishti itself is a big secret. Creation itself is a big secret. Krishna's power is such that what he does, he can keep things away from us to the extent. Krishna's point is, I'll tell you to the extent what you need to know basis. That's how Krishna says. You need to know only this much. That's enough for you. That's the way Krishna has put it in the Bhagavad Gita also. He has made it so summary of what he has given. Is that Mama Yonir Mahal Brahmam Tasmin Garbham Dadhamyaham Sambhava Sarva Bhudanam Tado Bhavati Bharata. Finished. Creation is over. Creation has been spoken. So, this much is sufficient to understand. Any time living force or consciousness or Atma or spirit comes into contact with Prakriti, material nature or Maya, creation must happen. Creation must happen. That's the way it happens. So that is the secret of Srishti, secret of creation. So Prakriti or material nature, the word used is Prakriti. Prakriti means material nature. And consciousness, which is in other words addressed as Chaitanya. Chaitanya means the same thing, again it's the same consciousness in other words. In a very unusual way, particularly in a very unusual way, if it develops any abhimanam, pride, if it comes from that, and what will happen is, Kshetram and Kshetrajna is one. that misunderstanding will come. I'll explain that. For example, that Krishna says that consciousness on its own, it doesn't have any problem, isn't it? Consciousness on its own doesn't have any problem. It's completely independent. Nitya mukta, nitya shuddha buddha mukta surubam, or satya chitta anandam dhyates. There is no adulteration there. There is no problems there in the chetana or the self or the soul. Equally, the matter is all jadam, isn't it? Dead matter, material elements, and everything that causes this material body is all dead matter. It doesn't claim any consciousness. Just like the mic. Mic has no consciousness. And this gross body on its own has no consciousness once it is dead. It is no consciousness. That means when chetana or consciousness withdraws from this body and this mic has no difference. Or with the ground floor or the ceiling, no difference at all. They are exactly one and the same because there is no consciousness present in anything. It's exactly the same. But Srishti's creation or secret is, if self or chetana or consciousness comes into contact with the matter, Srishti will start. That is what is called Srishti, creation. What does that mean? It means that as soon as this contact comes in a very unusual way, vichitram, unusual way, ego comes. Ego takes birth. That is the birth of ego. And when that ego is born, what is the result of that? You start thinking Kshetram and Kshetrajan is one. You see that? It results in this. Kshetram and Kshetrajan is one. You start thinking like that. Which means what? I am the body. I am the body if you take. Instead, I am is spiritual. The body is material. Isn't it? But when we present something, what do we think? I am the body. I don't introduce myself to someone, oh, I'm a spirit soul, nice to meet you. You don't do that, do you? You will always introduce yourself. Why? Because ajnanam avidya inside has made me very confidently, I'm saying to people that I'm so and so, I'm this, I'm that, I'm Indian, I'm a man, I'm whatever it may be. All identity superimposed one over the other is all the result of this. That result is of two things. One, chetana joining the jadam. Chetana joining the jadam. Chetana is spirit, jadam is dead matter. When they join together, abhimanam or ahankaram is born. And that is the power of maya. And maya does that. Prakriti does that. You see? Prakriti's job is that. That when you are combining these two things coming together, Prakriti's duty is to introduce, put through that ahankaram inside, and with the result of that, what happened? Atma is never claiming, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, ragadvesham is not there in the chetana, in the self, isn't it? In the self, it doesn't exist. In the dead matter, body is also not claiming kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, or ragadvesham. Body has no kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, no ragadvesham. Chedana Alma also has no kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, no ragadvesham. From where did this come then? That is this mysterious power of Maya. Maya, when they come together, she has to put this ahankaram in there. And the result of that is we are suffering. The result of all this is that we are suffering because of that, day after day, identifying with the body and suffer from that. And that is this secret of this creation. That is that verse is talking about. Mamayonir mahal brahmam tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tado bhavati bharada. Krishna put it in a very, very four lines, the whole secret of creation. Try to understand that, the depth of that verse. Mahayonir mahal brahmam. Mamayonir mahal brahmam tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tado bhavati bharada. Krishna is saying like that, isn't it? In a very concise way, Krishna is saying that this is how, that means the secret of Srishti, secret of creation is that verse actually. The secret of creation. And creation will always remain as a secret forever. It will never be revealed to us. You can keep on searching. All these are foolish people who are going and trying to find out what creation means. The scientists and all that. They will sit and speculate like this for many, many lifetimes. Nothing will come out of it. Because when you do not know what spirit means, what Atma means, where is the question of understanding? Because he is the main ingredient in the whole thing. Not the Mahal-Brahman, not the Mahatattvam, or the Prakriti. The important thing is that Chaitanya consciousness, what is going in. That is why Prabhupada was very heavy about it on this point. That he criticized heavily about this, with the scientists on this. He said that you are continuously, you are speculating and you are constantly making promises, we'll find out. You will never find out, he said. Because Krishna is saying this, Mama Yoni Mahat Brahman Tasmin Garbham Dathamiham. If you have found out that, you have understood Krishna then. You have not understood Krishna. Mahayonir Mahal Brahman Tasmin Garbham Dathamiham. Sambhava Sarva Bhudanam. All living entities. Tasmad Bhavati Atado Bhavati Bharata. That's how they were born. So the secret of creation is that verse. This third verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So here, Sambhava Sarva Bhudanam Tato Bhavati Bharata. From there, all living entities, Krishna says, and their nature also. Living entities don't come on their own. Each living entity comes here with his own nature. Isn't it? Svabhavam, in other words. Only thing is, when they are babies, you don't know their svabhavam. Only when you grow up, you start showing your real svabhavam at that time. We say that sometimes, isn't it? Mother says for the children sometimes. When he was small, he was listening. Now I can see his real svabhavam, what it is, he said. Mothers will say, parents will talk like that sometimes. And sometimes they'll go completely in a different world, in a way they go. And then the parents get, he's not my son, because look at his svabhavam, it's not me. Each father will try to wash their hands off, saying that about the child. Why is that? Because svabhavam starts manifesting at a particular time in life as they grow up. Their vasanas will come out, their desires will come out, and they may do things which you may never have thought about in life. At that time, just look at this verse and then you'll feel peaceful about it. Then you'll know where it has come from. That's all. At least it may help. This verse will help. Because every father or every mother is actually bewildered in life. When the children go no child will listen 100%. That's of course not going to happen. Sometimes you listen, if 10% they listen, you feel you're done well. But even that 10% you don't get sometimes. They go totally opposite to all your beliefs, thoughts, and all your plans, and whatever you have thought about it, they'll go completely in a opposite direction. And then you start wondering why I have trained them. I told him to chant 16 rounds every day. He used to chant, but now he's not even looking at the beats bag. And then, you try to teach him a few verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Now he has no interest in the Bhagavad Gita, what he wants to listen, want to listen. And you start wondering why. Answer is simple. There it is, the answer. The answer is this. Person has come with some vasana. You are trying to fight against that vasana, and that's not going to work. Because that vasanas are too strong to change. Too strong to change. That is why Krishna is saying here that mama yonir mahal brahmam. Knowing all these things, we should be careful in life. Where to stop also. Otherwise it will go endlessly. This is avidya means. Avidya means not knowing where to draw the line. You don't know anything. What can we do? In the process of creation, so many things have happened. Krishna is saying here, Mama Yonir Mahal Brahmam Tasmin Garbham Dadhamyaham Sambhava Sarva Bhudanam Tato Bhavati Bharata. And he includes all living entities in that. He is saying that they have all come here with their own vasanas and their own desires. And if you try to restrict them or try to stick in front of them, they will break through that. They will go. And sometimes you start wondering that, my children, I am praying all the time. What's my children? My children is going their own way. What can you do? There's nothing we can do about it. That's the vasana that has come through them. And that is how At the moment, that living force inside, that child, when it has come into contact with Prakriti, Prakriti has deposited all these vasanas inside of that child, and according to the modes of nature, it will start manifesting at the time when it is necessary to come about. It will come. There is a higher law behind that operating which we are not aware of. Which we are not aware of. The karma of that person's behind that, the vasanas behind that, all that has a very huge role to play in the life of that person. In the life of that person. It is only our avidya, our ajnanam inside, is making us think that we have some control over those situations which we don't. Which we don't. So, Krishna is saying, from ajnanam or avidya, prakriti has come, namarupam has come, mind has come, and that unusually powerful thing called the mind which comes out, and from that mind came the body. You have to remember that also. From avidya, the prakriti has come. And that prakriti, namarupam has come. Names and different forms. And from that came the mind. From that came the mind also. From that avidya, all these things are taking birth. Avidya, it takes, prakriti takes birth, namarupam takes birth, mind also takes birth. And from that unusual power called the mind, the body has come. The body has come. And from the body, the world has come. And they started manifesting. So remember, in the earlier also we spoke about this, that this, we have to always, when we see a person, if we have got something to do with that person, you have to look at it this way, that what he is manifesting in front of you is what is coming through his body, isn't it? But behind that body, when it came from the mind is a cause behind that manifestation of that body and his activities also. So that mind, which is the source of this body, has a very important effect on the activities of that body. Normally we think the mind is inside the body. Actually it's not. Body is in the mind. Not mind in the body. Body is inside the mind. That is why Krishna says, that is that word in that verse. If you look, sambhava sarvabhudanam, he says, that word sambhavam means that. Sambhavam means these living entities which are coming out from the Mahalbrahmam with all their vasanas and karma and everything, they enter into different kinds of actions in this world. And so many things happen with that. And that is what is called sambhava. Sambhava sarvabhudanam tato bhavati bharata. What are all things happen? First of all, identification with the body. Feeling strong identification with the gross body. And in addition to that, with the identification of the body, identification with the world of the creation. And we go and get trapped in that creation, in the prapancha. First of all, we get trapped in the mind. Then we get trapped in the body. Then we get trapped in the world. This is the way we get trapped here. In spirituality, if you come to spiritual identity, you have freedom. You are free. Then material miseries cannot touch us. But as long as we are trapped in these things, in the body, in the mind, in the world, material miseries will affect us. There is no way to escape from that. When we say in the bhakti language, we say it in a different way. What is that? In bhakti language, when you say that, this is, we are talking about in the process of jnana margam. In the bhakti language, when you say, we will say it like this. Nitya vastu for shelter. Anitya vastu for Nitya vastu for ashrayam. Anitya vastu for vyavaharam. It is the same principle spoken in the bhakti language. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the jnana language, when you say, this is where it will be spoken. That you got trapped into the body, you got trapped into the mind, you got trapped into the world. It's all a trap at the end. Nothing but a trap. Alma, the soul, has nothing to do with any of these things. Only, and why did that happen? Due to avidya. Avidya or ajnanam, whatever that is called. And from Ajnanam or Avidya, Namarupam came, mind came, and then body came, and then the world came. Everything. This is all for the Jnanamargam. In Bhakti Margam, when you say, we will say like this, that in Bhakti, important thing is that taking the shelter, where you are taking the shelter. If you take the shelter in the world, if you take shelter of the body, if you take shelter of the society, that means you are trapped there. That means that you are feeling that ashrayam. Ashrayam means shelter. Ashrayam in the anitya vastu. Because these are all permanent things. Temporary things. Body is temporary, world is temporary, society is temporary, money is temporary. Wherever you take shelter in any of these things, if you take ashrayam or shelter there, that is anitya vastu, temporary. If you take shelter of Krishna, permanent vastu inside, andaryami, Krishna, whichever way you address that is nitya vastu. Andaryami is nitya vastu. Their shelter means that is real shelter. So nitya vastu for ashrayam, anitya vastu for vyavaharam. Anitya vastu is only good for vyavaharam. It is not good for ashrayam. Nitya vastu is only good for ashrayam. It's not good for vyavaharam. This also we have to remember. So both these things in Jnanamargam and Bhakti Margam, in two different ways you speak about it. That's all it is. In message it is the same thing, but spoken in two different ways. Because those who have Jnana Vasana, they will understand the way if it is spoken in that way. And those who have got the Bhakti Samskaram, to them you have to speak in a different way. It's according to the person who is listening, you have to speak in the two different ways. That's all it is. So, so after that, Krishna is talking about that creation in a different way. Again, he is going to say the same thing. So let's look at the next verse. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahad yoni aham bija pradapita sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahad yoni aham bija pradapita. Just like the last verse, another important verse. Last verse Krishna said, mama yoni mahad brahmam tasmin garbham dadhamyaham sambhava sarva bhudanam tato bhavati bharata. In this verse Krishna is saying, sarva yoni shu kaundeya murtaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahad yoni aham bija pratapida. Very important words, because Krishna says, deva, pitra, manushya, pashu, mrigadi, sarva yonishu kaunteya. These are all different species. Demigods, pitralokam, inhabitants of pitralokam, pitradevadas, human species, animals, and all other. Sarva yonishu, in all species, murtaya, murchidangavayava, murtayaha sambhavandi, ya tasam, murtinam, brahma mahat sarva avastam yonihi karanam aham isho bija pradaha garbhadhanasya karta pita. So when I enter into them, Krishna is saying, tasam brahma mahat yoni, when I enter into this mahat brahmam, and when all these species are coming out from there, which one, all these different kinds of living entities, they come from there. And they have got their different type of bodies with different nature in them. The cause of all that, Krishna says, that when I enter into Mahat Brahmam, from there different species are coming out, isn't it? Human species, demigods, and animals, and all other sorts of... So Krishna says, the reason why they have different kinds of bodies is because of my presence. You understand what it's saying? Krishna's important point. That sarva yonishu kaundeya murtaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahad yoni aham bija pratapida. The mahad yoni or mahad brahmam, I am impregnating them with spirit. Spirit soul is entering into that. Whenever Krishna is saying like this, you have to always remember that Krishna is speaking as Brahmam, not as the person Krishna. as Brahmam he is. He is impregnating that Prakriti. Brahmam is entering into the Prakriti. Brahmam enters into Prakriti. Brahmam means Chetana, the spirit, the soul, Atma, Bodham, consciousness, whichever way you call it. That is entering into Prakriti. So Krishna says, when I enter into that, Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni, Aham Bija Pratapida. That means I am the father. Krishna says, I am the father. That is how Krishna is the father. Not the seminal father. Krishna is not our seminal father, isn't it? Krishna is our father in the spiritual sense. That means Krishna enters into this Brahmam and therefore, and he impregnates that, therefore he is our father. It is in that context, the fatherhood with Krishna. Otherwise everybody asks the question, how is Krishna my father? You have to know this, the spiritual relationship between Krishna and us is important. That is not the seminal father, it is the father who has impregnated and who created us. That means, due to Krishna's Brahmam, which is Krishna, has come into contact with Prakriti, therefore we living entities have born like this. With Ahangaram and Karmam, Avidya, Ajnanam, everything in us, Ragam, Dvesham, Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam, and a gross material body, this is all the result of that. But who entered into Brahmam is Krishna, is Mahat Brahmam. So, at that time, we get different bodies, isn't it? We have one type of body. And in the human species also, there is varieties. They say there are so many, 400,000 or something like that. Human species itself. So, and in there, in that human species, we have again different colors, different bodily features, isn't it? So, all these variations, why did that come? Krishna says, reason for that, it's me. I am the one who entered into Brahmam, he is what is responsible for that. So, and from these bodies that has come out, from Mahal Brahmam, the living entities have come. And from there is more living entities coming again, isn't it? Another like children, grandchildren, like that, it is born again and again, again and again. And if you look at all these things, does it make any sense? Does it? Does it make any sense to you, all these things? People are taking birth. We will say, oh, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. 3-4 generations you can look back. Probably you have seen your father or grandfather maybe. Some people didn't have even grandfather. They must have dead and gone. But then if you look further back there, what will be my great-grandfather like? No idea. And what about his father? Absolutely no connection. No. Isn't it? Now, if you sit now here and think back about your own birth and before that, your father, grandfather, great-grandfather, like that, if you go 2 or 3 generations, perhaps you can get some image about them in your mind. After 4 or 5 generations, you haven't got a clue who they were. You haven't got a clue what they were doing. You don't know anything about them. No knowledge at all about them. And same thing, from now on, if you look, you got your children, you may have some grandchildren, and after that, what? Who is going to come after that, after the grandchildren? You haven't got a clue. By then, you will be gone from here. So, when you see all these, both sides, if you look, this side or that side, it don't make any sense at all. In reality, there is no sense to any of these things. That is why this Srishti process is something you have to look at through the Bhagavad Gita's verses. Otherwise, it's all very confusing. Maya will make you realize, oh, this is all very, very important. All these connections, what I've got in this world. In my family, we had hundreds of elephants my parents maintained. Or they were driving the BMW cars all through their life. They were supporting the Manchester United Football Club. You can say so many things. For so many generations, they are supporting this club. You may make so many ignorant statements in this world like that. But practically, sarvayonishu kaantaya murtaya sambhavandiya tasam brahma mahad yonir aham bija pratapida. Krishna is saying, what matters in all these things? It's me. What? Aham bija pratapida. Krishna is the one who is doing all these things. That's all what matters. What's happening is not important at all. Because you can see, in the rainy season, for example, if you look, suddenly a lot of flies comes out. After a hot summer, when it rains, if you look outside, you will see flies will come out. And and as soon as they see the light, they'll come towards the light and they'll fly. And they will live for some time. Sometimes if there's a fire going on, they'll go and jump into the fire, attracted by the
heat and the light, and they will use their wings and they will fall into the fire and they will die and they will go. Now, what explanation can you give to this life? How will you explain that life? As soon as where did they come from? Okay, scientists will say, we have found out that their eggs were deposited here and they took birth because the heat was very favorable and all this kind of thing. But if you look into the nature, you can see so many living entities are taking birth in so many different bodies, isn't it? And what is that thing that creates that situation for the living entities to come out like that? That is why in these verses Krishna is saying that every time many living entities, when they lose their body, in every cell of that body what they have lost it, sometimes they will leave some life in that cells, and they will go. Like these flies, for example, they probably live for a few hours only when they come out after the rain, and they'll go and jump into the fire and they're dead and gone, isn't it? But it is possible sometimes that life will develop at unknown situations. Very difficult to explain that, the birth of life, how it is happening. So, so you can see here that life is present everywhere. Prabhupada had a very strong argument about this once. When somebody mentioned that there is no life in the sun planet, there is no life in the moon planet, Prabhupada says, how can it be? He said, life is everywhere. Life can develop anywhere. That is not subject to your chemistry and physics. That was Prabhupada's point. That your physics and chemistry and biology cannot dictate where life should develop. He said, life can develop anywhere. And he gave the example also that in the sun planet, they have got the body suitable for that condition. So our Vedam completely reject this scientific theory. Scientific theory is that these conditions, this kind of life only can develop. And this is condition only life can develop. They put a lot of... but still, they know in their mind that life can develop anywhere. Because sometimes when they go to these planets like Mars and to Venus and all that, or Mercury, they come back and they're saying that there cannot be any life there. They have this argument, isn't it? Oh, life cannot... You have to say that the life, what you perceive through your senses and the mind, is not existing there. That you can say. That what you are seeing, your so-called understanding of life, is what you perceive through your mind and the senses. That's what your life, what you are talking about, isn't it? You call that as life. But in real sense, Krishna's point is, life can exist anywhere. It can survive, provided Krishna has to decide to stay there. That's all. If Krishna decides to stay, he can stay in Mars, he can stay in Venus, he can stay in Jupiter, Saturn, wherever he likes. Only thing is, we may not be able to find that life in that planet because of our mind and senses. It is through our senses and the mind you are trying to capture that, isn't it? So, you can see here that therefore, this is the reason when you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, so many living entities are spoken which we don't know. Kinnaras, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, and many others. Is it not? Nagalogam, Yakshalogam, Brahmarakshasan, so many things are spoken there. We have no clue where do they live, all these. But they do exist. Otherwise, when Narasimhamurti appeared, you remember that Lord Brahma told Prahlada to go and glorify Narasimhamurti. And after that, there is a number of people goes to glorify Narasimhamurti. If you read through them, you start asking, who are these people? Where are they coming from? Sadasaspadaya uchu, it says there. Badrashravasa uchu. There's so many people, personalities they are talking about. Where are they? Where do they come from? So, important thing is here that life can exist anywhere. It is not dependent only on the conditions. This is our ajnanam inside. Conditions are the reason for the existence of the life. It's not. Recently they were talking about that sometimes, even Prabhupada mentioned this, that they broke some great rock. When the rock broke the rock, inside the rock, there was a frog sitting there. Prabhupada says frog is in the yoga state. He was in the yoga state, doesn't need any food, doesn't need any drink. It can stay like this for as many thousands of years, under, inside the wood, inside the stone, and places like that. So, how will you explain that? To say that somebody can stay without food for a long period of time, from our biological reasons, we can't answer that, can we? Because as far as we are concerned, we need the food to survive. Similarly, we think that every living entity has its own food. But there are special situations where living entities can survive in this world without food, and that is a yoga state. You can also see this, that while inside the womb of the mother, how much food is being supplied to that child? Whatever the mother is taking the food, a part of that is goes to the child for its survival, isn't it? So it is very strange way this whole creation works. Very difficult to fully understand the principle behind it, or to bring it under our understanding is quite a difficult thing. That is why, generally, from the Vedic point of view, everything is living force, Chaitanyam. Just like a child goes in front of a mirror and says, a very small baby, if you show the baby a mirror, baby will point out into the mirror and say to the mother, look, there's a baby inside. It doesn't know that it is him who is inside the mirror, isn't it? Like the mothers and the children, they do all these things. So, so mother says to the child, no, that's not another baby, that's you inside. Baby doesn't understand first. Baby is looking at the mirror and thinking there's another child inside the mirror, isn't it? And at that time, the baby took something and beat the other baby with something, and the whole mirror broke into pieces. At that time, the baby looks into all the pieces and says to the mirror, now there are more babies everywhere, he says, looking into all the broken mirrors and says to the mother. Similarly, this one consciousness, truth, our bodham, bodham or satyam, that is reflecting through so many broken mirrors. That is this Namarupam. Namarupam is this broken mirrors. It is through that, it's reflecting through each. So like the baby said that, oh, so many babies now, while looking at all the mirrors. In the same way, this point is that Krishna, when he enters into one, is one. But when he enters and breaks that Brahman, Brahman is broken into little Brahmans. That's what we are. And this little Brahmams, Krishna is still there, like the way in the mirror, Krishna is baby is reflected in all pieces of mirrors. Sarva yonishu kaunteya, murtaya sambhavandiya, tasam brahma mahadyonir, aham bija pradapida. This is the father relationship with us. This is why Krishna is called the father. And Krishna says here that one bodham, one satyam, in so many names and forms, it's reflecting through all the names and forms. And each one of them is saying, I am existing. Isn't it? Each one of that reflection is claiming, I exist in that way. And that is the that is the way it is, the creation has happened. Just like there are certain species, certain worms, if you cut them into two, both of them will live. You must have come across that. Certain worms, if you cut them into two, there'll be life in both. They'll be living like that. So, so how will you explain all these things? That's why people ask question about this soul, that how does it work? They want to understand. Actually, it is very difficult to explain that, because there are so many ways of explaining. Jarayujam, andajam, svedajam, udbijam. This is one way of explaining the birth of living entities. What it means is Jarayujam, Andajam, Svedajam, Udbijam. That things which comes out from the land, it takes birth, like the plants and the trees. Something that comes from the sweat, living entities that comes from the sweat. Something that comes as the eggs, Andajam, as eggs. Through the eggs it comes out. Then Jarayujam, it comes as the babies, like the mammals and species, human species and elephants and all that. Babies are born without eggs, isn't it? So, Jarayajam, Andajam, Swedajam, Udbijam. This is one way of explaining the appearance of the living entities in this world. In this world. So, in other words, things come out from the earth. Earth breaks up through the seeds, it comes out. And from the eggs opens up, like the chicken and all that, it comes out. Then from the sweat, living entities come out, and others come from the garbham, from the womb, they come out. So, the cause of all these different kinds of appearances, the root cause of that, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapida. I am the Bijam. Because Krishna decided to come in different ways. Krishna decided to come in different ways. Aham Bija Pradapida. That Bijam is me. Krishna is saying, the Bijam is me. So, if you explain that a little bit more, due to man-woman relationship, Stri-Purusha Samyogam, to the man-woman relationship, children are born. That does not mean everybody should have children, and wherever man and woman is combined, united together, there should be children, should be there. If that is the cause, that shows that that is not the cause. That is not the cause. Wherever man-woman relationship is there, then children should be born if it is like that. But it is not like that what we find in this world. So, many people say that we don't have children, and some people say we have loads of children. Whatever it is, so so simply by the association of Shuklam and Shonitam, that means due to the combination of man and woman alone, children will not be born. That is the principle. Due to that alone, children will not be born. What Krishna is saying is, in Sanskrit they call it a Shukla Shonidam. Shuklam is the semen and Shonidam is the blood. So when they combine together, if Krishna does not impregnate with the seed in their bijam, children will not be born. That is what that verse is saying. That Sarva Yonishu Kaundeya Murtaya Sambhavandiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni Aham Bija Pradapidaha. That impregnating that with the seed is the most important activity, not the Shukla Shonida Samyogam. That means the man-woman relationship is not the important reason, is not the important thing. When Krishna impregnates that with his bijam, that is where birth happens. That is when birth happens. Normally what do we think? We think the opposite way, isn't it? Now that he is married, they should have children, we say like this. That has no meaning, saying that. That is only an external cause. The efficient cause, or the main cause of that is, Krishna has to decide that he wants to enter into that Shukla Shonida Samyogam, into that Shuklam and Shonida. So, only if Krishna goes and plants the seed there, only then the children will be born. Only then the children will be born. Shruti says, in the Upanishads, it also talks about this. When a particular jiva wants to come to this world, it wants to come to this world. A jiva has to come here. After it has left the body, gone, a decision has been made that it has to take birth in this world. It's looking for a channel to come here. That jiva is looking for a channel to come. And it comes through the rainwater, it gets into the land, and it takes in the birth of a plant or something like that, and it appears here, and a man, a male, eats that food, and through his food, he enters, that jiva enters into that body, to the man, and it creates a natural urge in him. Not an imaginary urge, but natural urge it creates inside that person. And with the result of that, that it comes in the form of a seed, enters into the womb of the mother, and it grows in the womb of the mother. And in other words, this whole thing actually becomes a channel for the jiva to pass through. That's what is happening. The rain, the plant, the food, the father, the mother, all this is nothing but a channel for the jiva to pass through. For jiva wants to come to this world, whatever reasons it has its own, karma behind it, the vasana behind it. Due to that, jiva has to come to this world. What's happening is, father, mother, and the plant, and the all other things is nothing but it's a channel for that to come, for the jiva to come here. And so when that is Purusha, in other words, Purusha becomes a channel for that, and in the form of the cloud, in the form of Parjanyam, Parjanyam means rain, and Agni, and also the channel that it is creating. That means even the rain is a channel for that to come through. The plant is a channel for the jiva to come through. The male body is a channel to come through. The female body is a channel to come through. Krishna says, Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni. That Brahmam, these are all Brahmam. Mahadyoni, that Mahadyoni in there, Aham Bija Pratapida. I am that Bijam which is passing through that whole cycle. Through the whole cycle. This is the way Krishna explains creation. In the mundane concept, how do we see our birth? Somebody got married, they got children, birthday party. This is our understanding of the creation. What does Krishna's explanation see? Krishna's explanation is how the jiva makes its journey through this world. That's more important. Jiva's journey through this world. Jiva decided to come. Everything is a channel for the journey, for that journey. That's all. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.